Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Okay, here we go. It's Thursday morning. Of course, Mark Riley and I have been covering the convention from our couches in our respected homes.
Yes, here in the New York area.
Yeah, in the New York area. I TiVo'd everything. I watched it in the middle of the night tonight. Al Sharpton is a rock star. A rock star. That dude got out there. He's like, I don't care about time. I got something to say to the people.
That's right.
I want to answer some questions. And he laid it out, man. He you know, what was in his head. It's like, you know, Barack's going down. I'll show him how
you think
it's
there
done.
Was a competition going
oh,
on
man.
Here?
Look, I'm a comic, look, all right? And I know how this stuff works. And sometimes you get bumped, you know what I mean? Sometimes the dude's going to do a little extra time because he's on a roll and he's got something to say, and he'll sit there in the wings and go, damn, there goes, he's messing up the room. But you know what? As long as Edwards wasn't pissed, who cares? I say bring it on. The guy was great. Sharpton rocked. And I had no problem with it. What I do have a problem with is these idiots, these CNN anchor people or whatever you call them, these sycophantic, weird, parasitical, whatever they are. Right when Sharpton's done, all Blitzer and Woodruff can say is like, do you think this screwed up the schedule? Like, that's all you're worried about? Like, it's your show, your damn show? You know what I mean? Those guys should just shut up and do some news coverage. Am I right?
Well, you're right, because all they're really worried about is the roll call. What else did they have to do?
But it's like, you know, they're the only ones covering it. The networks aren't even covering it. They should just be happy that something interesting and exciting happened. I mean, Sharpton was great.
Look, here's the problem.
But no one said that, though.
Mark, I know,
no
I know,
that
I know.
Was great. And then what's
well,
the name?
We're saying it.
Who's the big one that's wandering? What's her name?
Candy Crowley.
She gets right up in Sharpton's face and goes, was this on the script? I mean, did they know you were going to do that? And Sharpton's like dismissive, like, you know, did you just see what just happened? I can see it on his face. Yeah. Like, excuse me, could you shut your mouth?
I just rocked the house. Could you do that?
There are people still dancing after what I said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's all you can. You're going to try and make news out of this. You're going to try and reprimand me. You're going to try and erase what I did. Sharpton raised the spirit of that place. And you know what? Sharpton is better than most, almost better than anybody, at turning a phrase, at delivering something, at, you know, making poetic, poignant moments, at being critical and articulate at the same time. I thought it was just tremendous.
It's improvisation, man. It's like Charlie Parker.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
On that level, yeah. Al Sharpton certainly was the real deal that way. And, Mark, when you have three times as many media as you have delegates, 15,000 to 5,000, you're going to get the kind of foolishness that you saw in response to Al Sharpton. You're going to get the kind of foolishness where journalists are interviewing other journalists, and journalists are interviewing pundits, and pundits are interviewing other pundits. It's all part of this media feeding frenzy that happens because they know the convention. Anything that's not, they've been talking for the last 2 days about the fact it's scripted. So Al Sharpton does something unscripted, and they're like, oh, my God.
They freak out. And what he's saying is exactly true. It's incestuous. All these idiots, you know, who think they have something to say. You know, I know I'm an idiot, you know, and I know that, like, you know, occasionally I have something to say, but I'm not claiming to be a journalist, you know. I'm just a guy. I'm just a comic with a certain point of view. But these people, they get on, they think it's all about them, and it is incestuous, and not unlike real incest. If you got enough people talking to each other, like reporters talking to reporters, journalists acting journalists, the information you're going to get is going to be retarded.
Well, it's going to be the same kind of thing, like if you're sitting in a circle and somebody whispers a story to one person and they whisper it one right after the other, and by the time you get around the circle, it's a completely different story than the first one that started.
And it's crap, and it's got nothing, no bearing on what just happened. I mean, for them, for Judy Woodruff or whatever, is that
Woodruff?
Her name? Woodruff. She's been around politics too long.
She needs wrinkle cream, is what she needs.
I don't know what she needs, but all I'm saying is, for them, right after that speech, the first response that they have, the first thing is like, "Wow, I hope this doesn't screw up the schedule." How about whoa? You know what I mean? He really had a lot to say. It's like, that's all you're going to worry about is your stupid schedule.
Well, that's the whole thing, Mark. You have to understand. For 2 days, they complained about how scripted the schedule was.
And
Al Sharpton goes
happens.
Off the schedule and, oh, my God, we're off schedule.
That's going to cut into my time, Wolf
yes,
Blitzer
exactly.
time. God forbid we cut into Wolf Blitzer time. What's going on in that guy's brain? Nothing.
Ralph Reed's time. What was Ralph Reed doing on television on CNN of all places?
8 minutes after Edwards' speech. Like, yeah. 8 minutes of Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed, why did they... that's like putting Hitler on. Why would they put that guy... I'm furious. Furious. And if anyone ever accuses CNN of being a liberal media outlet, you've got your head up your butt.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, you really do have to kind of think... What kind of liberal media would give Ralph Reed 8 minutes?
It's bad enough Tucker Carlson is there blabbing his mouth out, buzzkilling everything. You know what? I can't stand these journalists, and they're not being journalists. What are they doing?
Why don't we try and gorilla about 8 minutes worth of time, four each, from the Fox News Channel? What do you think would happen? Anyway, John Edwards set the tone for the evening's festivities last night. I mean, this is when they got down to business.
Wait. Al Sharpton set the tone.
I know. But Edwards, Al Sharpton's not the vice presidential candidate. I mean, look, Edwards, first of all, and we talked about this yesterday. It's an important thing for people to know. We talked yesterday about the fact that a lot of the people that spoke to the convention on Tuesday really did not invoke John Kerry as their first. That's the first thing they talked about. They talked about their own situations, whatever.
Yeah.
But yesterday, John Edwards got right into praising John Kerry. He was 2 minutes into that speech, and he was talking about John Kerry.
Right.
He also talked about some very broad, populist things. He talked about health care.
Yeah.
He talked about schools.
Yes.
He talked about welfare. But he also talked about the destruction of Al-Qaeda. He needed to position this ticket so that people do not think that they are weak on terror, weak on national security, weak on defense. He laid out some policy, too. Serious policy.
Yeah.
He also hit on a couple of things that Barack Obama actually did on Tuesday night. But Edwards, and this is a...
hit on some things, you mean he lifted a couple of ideas.
All right, okay. See, you're a comic. You know how that works.
Well, yeah, it's not quite hacking, but almost...
He also, though, brought his speech home with a very typical Southern call and response. Let's hear that part of John Edwards' speech.
So, when you return home some night, you might pass a mother on her way to work the late shift. You tell her, hope is on the way. When your brother calls and says, he's spending his entire life at the office, and he still can't get ahead, you tell him hope is on the way. When your parents call and tell you their medicine's going through the roof, they can't keep up, you tell them hope is on the way. And when your neighbor calls and says her daughter's worked hard and she wants to go to college, you tell her hope is on the way. And when your son or daughter who's serving this country heroically in Iraq calls, you tell them hope is on the way. When you wake up and you're sitting at the kitchen table with your kids and you're talking about the great possibilities in America, your kids should know that John and I believe to our core that tomorrow can be better than today.
Nice work. Nice job.
Is hope coming FedEx or?
You know what I thought was interesting about that whole hope thing?
Yeah.
Where was Bill Clinton from?
He was from Hope, Arkansas.
Hope, Arkansas.
Yeah.
One of those hope is on the way things kind of had a little aura of Bill Clinton over the top of it.
I like Edwards, man. He's got that same thing Bill had, that sort of like, he loves the love.
Yep.
You know, he knows how to bask in love. I have no idea how to do that. If people are applauding me, I'm like, you know, maybe I ought to rethink this. We'll be right back with Sharpton's speech here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Arrowtown, for free. O.T. Arrowtown is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at airamericaradio.com and help support Air America.
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world. The San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation. And Sirius Satellite Radio says, well, Sirius says, We got him.
Eminem. Multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius. Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to Satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for RAD. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive Trump.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. Morning's edition. Air America. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
You know what's great about Al Sharpton is that, like, when he gets on, you don't know if you're going to get a good laugh or if he's going to really, you know, push it over the top. The guy's capable of anything. He's got good jokes. He can preach. He's got powerful things to say. You know, he's a real performer, man.
Well, see, first of all, he's been doing this since he was a little kid.
Yeah.
I remember he was a boy preacher. This is like in 1972. I think he was maybe 13, 14 years old then.
Really?
And, you know, he has his organization, National Action Network, for years.
Yeah.
He would have a Saturday rally where he would come and preach to a group of about 200-300 of his core supporters. So he's honed his ability to do this over the long term. He's very, very good at it. And he's also very good at maybe going off script without going off message. I think
because he's got the riffs in his head.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those people, he's like a comic. You do a couple riffs over and over in your head, and, you know, it's laid in there. You know, it's like it's improvising, but he knows where to punch it, you know what I mean, or let something sit to get the applause.
Oh, yeah, he's very good at that. But see, the other thing that this speech last night signified is that his wing of the Democratic Party, you see, people say, well, he didn't get that much of a percentage when he ran for president. Al Sharpton still has a wing of the Democratic Party that support him, support the actions that he's taken both here in New York and across the country over the long term. They are fairly cynical people about the Democrats, okay?
Yeah.
They want to be shown some stuff before they actually say, I'm going to the polls
right, and
vote for Kerry Edwards. So this ringing endorsement that Sharpton made last night was a signal to that, to the Sharpton following, that okay, it's okay to come out and vote for John Kerry. And John Kerry's going to need every one of those votes to come out if he's going to win this November.
I just loved it. And I love the fact that there are so many people within the white media establishment that are really irked by his, like, you know, his rebelliousness. And that's what's clear about these idiots who are, you know, calling themselves journalists on CNN, is that the only thing that pissed them off was the fact that he didn't respect their stupid timetable, you know, to make things go in the order that they wanted it to go in. And instead of, like, giving him his props, all they could say is, like, well, I really hope this doesn't screw up our schedule.
Hey, man, you're cutting into Ralph Reed's time. What's wrong with
Ralph
you?
Ralph Reed? What is that? that guy is like public enemy number one, and I'm not being partisan, I'm being reasonable. That guy, you know, let's not forget, is the main reason why the religious right, the extreme religious right, is so well integrated into the Republican Party because of that guy's work.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And he is, he's one of those people, you know, the Republicans made no bones about the fact they sent this, quote, truth squad up to Boston to dog the Democrats throughout this convention. This is not an accident that these guys turned up here.
Yeah, and they're dummies. You know, all they could say, they're sitting around saying, wow, man, I really thought that they were going to stay on the level, but they're really attacking the president. Hey, you know what? First of all, the president deserves to be attacked. Second of all, there's a difference between attack and criticism. And third of all, if he's the war president, he should be able to handle it.
That's right. And here's what Al Sharpton had to say to President George W. Bush.
As I close, Mr. President, I heard you say Friday that you had questions for voters, particularly African-American voters. And you asked the question, did the Democratic Party take us for granted? Well, I have raised questions, but let me answer your question. You said the Republican Party was the party of Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. It is true that Mr. Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, after which there was a commitment to give 40 acres and a mule. That's where the argument to this day of reparations started. We never got the 40 acres. We went all the way to Herbert Hoover, and we never got the 40 acres. We didn't get the mule, so we decided we'd ride this donkey as far as it would take us.
Masterful stuff.
Yeah, if you're going to say more, we just listen to the applause.
No, 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 we're just listening to the applause.
Can we get that? Yeah, it's beautiful. How about an Obama buzz? I could use an Obama buzz. Can you give us
a little
Chris?
Barack Obama?
I want an Obama buzz.
Even as we speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us. The spin masters, the negative ad peddlers, who embrace the politics of anything goes. Well, I say to them tonight, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America. The pundits like to slice and dice our country into red states and blue states. Red states for Republicans, blue states for Democrats. But I've got news for them, too. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. We coach Little League in the blue states, and yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. There are patriots who oppose the war in Iraq, and there are patriots who supported the war in Iraq. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes. All of us defending the United States of America.
Beautiful.
I'm telling you now.
Sharpton and Obama, double punch, man. Bam,
oh, yeah.
Bam. Even Jesse was good.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, Reverend Jackson was kind of out of prime time this time, which, again, talks about the turning of the page here. Mm-hmm. Because Jesse Jackson was out of prime time. Al Sharpton was in prime time. And I'm going to guarantee you one thing.
He took a little other people's time, too.
Well, yeah, he did. But see, it's not going to cost him.
Nah.
Ordinarily, the Democrats the DNC would make you pay for running 14 minutes over your allotted time. They will not make Al Sharpton pay for that because Al Sharpton had a compelling 14 minutes.
Absolutely. And what are you saying, that they actually fine them, like the NBA?
No, they don't know. They don't fine them. But what they do is make it more difficult for them to participate in the lifeblood of the Democratic Party.
That's the great thing about Sharpton, is that, like, what are you going to do?
Stop
that guy from doing anything?
What are you going to send me to my room?
Yeah, how are they going to stop Al Sharpton? And, Edwards, I don't want to take anything away from Edwards. I thought Edwards was great. He was smooth. He was fighting a little bit of a cold. I know how that feels to be a performer and have a little sickness. But, you know, he was very gracious. And, like, he was the first guy, as you said, to really plug Kerry in a way that was, you know, intimate. legitimate and right from the beginning. And also, he laid out the policies.
Yes, he talked very specifically about policies across the board,
yes,
from Al-Qaeda to healthcare. And, of course, John Kerry himself came to Boston, went across the harbor, I guess, in a water taxi with some of his buds from the Vietnam era. Not a swift boat.
If Matt Drudge, you know, is right in judging Kerry's character, he would have showed up in full, you know, fatigues with all those guys, you know, from the swift boat from Vietnam wearing fatigues, reenacting
with guns,
the landing.
Yeah,
right there in Boston Harbor. But, you know, Matt Drudge is just, you know, dredging up.
Well, what does he get right? Remember, he was the one that went through the whole thing about Hillary becoming the vice president. Remember that, right?
Yeah, the accusation today is that there's all this footage, this Super 8 footage that was taken in Vietnam.
Right, back in the 70s.
Right, that apparently Kerry had gone back to certain areas after battles, you know, and reenacted some stuff on the Super 8 camera, you know, and they're saying, like, that's because he knew he was going to run for president and that it was all a device to, you know, make him a hero. I mean, if this dude had that much foresight then, he's really a genius. You should let him be president just for being that much of a genius. Well, the truth of the matter is, at that point in time, there were no DVDs. There were no video recorders. They had Super 8 movie cameras, and there were people that had them and wanted to capture where they were. I mean, I imagine there's plenty of guys in Iraq that, you know, before they disallowed them, you know, to take videos, take pictures. I mean, the guy wanted to document where he was, you know, and they said he reenacted it with him as the hero. Well, what else would he do? Was he going to reenact it with him, like, you know, getting beaten or tripping and falling? I mean, what's the point of taking pictures of yourself to show what an idiot you are? I mean, the idea that it was a devious, you know, sort of like, you know, well-planned out way of him to campaign in the future is so far-fetched and stupid. And the fact that the Republicans are pushing this picture around of him in the contamination suit and trying to, like, you know, make him look stupid, it's like, you know, grow up, man. Grow up. You Republicans are babies and you got nothing. You got nothing to go on. I went to the website. Did you go to the website?
I saw you when you went to the website.
BushCheney.com. It might as well be a Kerry website. You're so obsessed with the fact that this guy is succeeding and has something to say and a new vision for America, and all you can do is slander him because you can't go on your record because there is no record. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Well, they don't have a single picture on the front of, there is no picture of Bush on the front page of the Bush-Cheney web. Now, that's understandable about Dick Cheney, he's just ugly. But why is George W. Bush not on the front page of his own website? Because it is all about John Kerry. It cannot be about George W. Bush because his claims about the economy are absolutely hollow.
Yeah.
His claims about winning the war on terror, winning anything in Iraq, absolutely hollow, and everybody knows it's absolutely hollow.
How are those
hollow
claims on intelligence?
What intelligence?
Empty. Exactly. What intelligence? They got nothing.
They got nothing
but
name
calling and pictures of the next president in a contamination suit learning something.
When we come back, the presidential palm pilot, we talk to a guy with the guts to show Michael Moore's film in George W. Bush's hometown and the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's all over tonight with Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry officially accepting the nomination tonight with the culmination of the Democratic National Convention in Boston. Reverend Al Sharpton stole the show last night with a 20-minute address and a sharp attack on George W. Bush. Group of insurgents in Iraq says it's holding a Somali truck driver hostage and will behead him if his Kuwaiti employer does not stop working there. The statement comes after another group claimed to have killed two Pakistani contractors. Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi and State Secretary Colin Powell are welcoming a Saudi-led initiative on stabilizing Iraq. And apparently, Bill Cosby is not backing down. The comedian is defending his recent controversial comments about blacks. Cosby had criticized some blacks for bad grammar and said they missed opportunities provided by the civil rights movement. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Carfenic Minute. The heat's got you saying, oh, grr. So you press the blue button on your dash for some fresh air. Phew! Smells worse than a talking donkey. When I come back, I'll air out this moldy tale. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com. If your AC hasn't been on for a while, chances are your vents are as green as Shrek's skin and are probably growing things that look like him, too. Pollen, dust, mold, and smog easily enter passenger cabins through the HVAC system. This causes musty odors that would make even Fiona sneeze and produces air inside your vehicle that can be 6 times dirtier than air outside. Protect yourself from Farquaad's evil pollutant spores by replacing your vehicle's cabin air filter. A fresh filter cleans the incoming air and removes allergens. Now that's a breath of fresh air. And yes, donkey, a happy ending. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Guys, it's Thursday morning. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning sedition here on Air America. We got the presidential Palm Pilot downloaded from Ramon in Texas. George Bush is in Crawford, not at the ranch. It's not a ranch, because a ranch is an extensive farm, especially in the western United States, on which large herds of cattle, sheep, or horses are raised. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, says that what Bush lives in is a mansion in the woods. Here we go. Here's the schedule. 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Crawford. I had the worst nightmare. I was president and everyone hated me. Oh. 10 a.m. Have Secret Service arrest and execute mountain bike. Your days of tyranny are over. 11 a.m. Watch Sharpton's speech on TiVo. Boy, the Republicans could really use an angry, funny black guy. No, see if we can get Fred Sanford for our convention. 12 noon, watch Edward's speech on TiVo. Boy, the Republicans could really use an articulate Southern lawyer. No, see if we can get Matlock for our convention. 1:30 p.m., find something that's not supposed to be on my property and kill it. 2:30 p.m., fly back to Washington, but first circle menacingly over Fleet Center in Boston. 4 p.m., back at White House, find something that's not supposed to be on my property and kill it. 9 p.m., watch Kerry's speech. Wow, this Bush guy is terrible. Wait, let me read it right. Wow, this Bush guy is a terrible president. Someone should say something. Do something. Wait a minute. Boy, I botched that whole joke. Man, I just threw that right in the joke crapper. 11:10 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thought. I'm still rich.
I'll read that better in the third hour, so if you're hanging around.
But it matched the music perfectly.
We got some good guests coming up.
Absolutely.
We got Florida Congresswoman Corrine Brown out of the tub this time.
Uh-oh.
We got Ambassador Joe Wilson. Always good to talk to him.
Yes.
He's got an edge, Joe Wilson.
That he
Joe
does.
Wilson will tell it, you know, tell it straight and tell it angry. But on the phone now is the director of the Crawford Peace House, which is it's in Texas. They had an outdoor screening of Fahrenheit 9/11 last night. Bush supporters apparently started lining up around 1:30 p.m. to protest the 9 o'clock screening in Crawford, which has a population of the guy on the phone and three other people.
He may not be on the phone by the time you get finished with that.
All this time, I don't know if Michael Moore showed up or what, but they did it. It was an act of dissent there. And now on the phone to talk to us about it, Skip Rondas. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what the Crawford Peace House is.
Okay. Well, it's nonprofit group of peace activists came together about 2 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
And purchased a property that was ideally located right along Highway 185, which essentially is a key route to the Bush Ranch, and so it's highly visible.
I was told it's not a ranch. I hear it's just a mansion on a piece of land.
Yes, thank you for correcting me early, but you're exactly right. We call it a compound. We had another compound about 15, 20 miles the other direction.
Oh, yeah.
In the Waco area.
The Branch Davidians.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever, so you've only been there 2 years, so that was after Waco.
Right. Actually, we bought the property in March of last year. I'm a Waco resident, actually, about 20 miles away.
So did you have any contact with Koresh? Here, all of a sudden, I'm taking the interview a whole different way.
I had none. In fact, I couldn't take you to the site. I think I saw him at the Albertsons once or something, but that was about it.
Really? Was he levitating the cart or anything?
You heard about that.
So you guys showed Fahrenheit 9/11 last night.
Yes.
And how was the turnout?
It surpassed our expectations. We were looking for something around 1,000, maybe 1,200 people, something on that order. And the low estimate we heard was about 1,500. The upper estimate was 5,000.
Woo!
And reasonably, I guess 2,500 to 3,000.
Wow! So, where you showed it outside, or?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's amazing!
Now, who were the protesters? I understand there were protesters that lined up like 8 hours before the movie. Who were they? How many of them were there?
Yeah, I never heard a count. I saw them. They were, for the most part, they were congregating in downtown Crawford, which is about 5 or 6 blocks from our site, about
in the free speech zone.
Yeah, it was some local folks, and it was some folks from Austin. I don't know the names. There were a few organizations, and frankly, I don't know who they were. But
they didn't bother you?
Not really. No, they seem more interested in it's sort of like a celebration parade, a homecoming parade type of situation. And they wanted to be seen by the media, and they did that a few times. But they did not threaten or bother us at all. And we had excellent help from the Crawford police, and we had our own peacekeepers on hand. And
did Bush show up?
No, he had several invitations, public and private, but we didn't see him.
Oh.
How about Michael Moore?
Michael did not come either.
Uh-huh.
He was going to be there, not going to be there, going to be there, and so forth. We weren't really quite sure until late morning, early afternoon.
Well, he's busy running the convention.
That's what I was seeing last night. He's the star of the ball.
Yeah. So now in Crawford, what's the community like, really? I mean, there's got to be some resentment for the Bush clan.
There is, but it's closet resentment or dislike. Very few people there are willing to voice that opinion.
Out of fear?
Publicly, yeah. I mean, it's truthfully, we've heard that from a number of people. We were actually going to try to find a place in the country. I have former clients I've worked with who own property out there, and lots of friends out there. Some are long-time Democrats, but for fear of reprisal or possibly ostracism, they were unwilling to let us show the movie on their property.
Wow. Now, do you see the president at all? I mean, do people in Crawford see him when he's on the ranch? He's been at the ranch all this week. Does he kind of hole up inside his own compound? Or does he? He's at Albertson's, right?
No, you don't see him, cruising to the store. And occasionally with a large group of Secret Service and guards, he'll go to the coffee station there, which is about a block and a half from our location at the Peace House.
But you got to see him clearing the brush off the fences. That's all he does, it seems. You never see him on his mountain bike running into stuff or clearing brush off of the fences?
No.
Right? Certainly you don't see him at the library. Or
You're taking out my pet, V-Pet goat, yeah. Sorry.
How was the response to the film, Skip?
Oh, it was superb. As I've heard, has happened everywhere, people got up and applauded for a long period of time at its conclusion. And I think even some of the people who were protesting our presence there on the outside of the barrier, although I didn't see them applaud, I think many of them learned some things.
Well, it's great, so they actually could see the film.
They could see the film.
And that's great.
Some of them, came inside, and we'd heard with the intent of disrupting things, but they didn't do that. And early on, we thought we had a clever idea of encouraging, people with an opposing view to come and watch it by allowing them to come in free if they had their Republican voter registration card.
Oh, that's great.
Smart move.
Yeah, we found out later that was not legal because this was a fundraiser, so we had to ask them for a donation too. But if they became combative, we would let them in, Anyway, that was not an issue. And so we had a... it's hard to measure, but we had a mixed crowd to some degree.
Okay, well, hey, Skip, you did a great thing. I really appreciate you being with us here this morning. Take care.
My pleasure.
Thanks
you.
A lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're just kind of groovy.
Well, yeah, and he's probably going to get his taxes audited for the next 20 years.
Yeah, he is. Believe me and you are in real trouble.
Real trouble.
We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Venti with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on the environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. That has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
You love the game. You love your team. And you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts. Thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
Yeah, Thursday morning, morning's edition, Air America Radio.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Present.
The counter propaganda unit, which means the truth unit.
Yes.
We're out there on Truth Patrol.
Yes.
So I can't validate this story's truth or not. So I'm going to read
it.
I'm going to throw it out there. Actually, one of the bloggers was ahead of us on this, but only in posting it. But we had it last night, man.
Yeah.
We had it.
We
earlier.
Read it first.
Like it matters. Like there are people in their cars or walking or listening next. I'm like, bloggers?
What's a blog?
Why is he talking to the bloggers? If you want to blog, if you want to get involved and get into the little circle, if these people out there, if these bloggers will let you, if you have the wrong views, though, I'll tell you right now.
They'll kill you.
These bloggers will, like, shut you down, man. They'll ignore your little posties. But it's morningsedition.com, and there's a lot of good folks from all around the world out there talking as we speak. And I'm not going to be, I'm not blog bitching right now.
You're not.
Let me explain what a blog bitch is. It means, like, if I get hung up and I start reading the blog during the broadcast, then I'll start responding to it and, not acknowledge the other thousands of listeners that are listening and just sort of get into these weird little things with Jared from Chicago, whose bitch I am not anymore.
You mean the one who blogs at morningsedition.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just checking.
The story is President Bush using drugs to control depression and erratic behavior.
Ooh.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, I don't know if it's true because it comes from Capitol Hill Blue.
But what the
but
hell?
But you know what? Since when is that going to stop us?
Yes, this is true.
When we have well-sourced news, which is usually what we have, we claim it and, we'll say it's true.
We tell everybody it's well-sourced.
Because we are about the truth. But I'm going to speculate here, because I personally believe this is true, that President George W. Bush is taking powerful antidepressant drugs to control his erratic behavior, depression, and paranoia. Now, like, depression as an illness. Okay, first of all, I'm a little on the fence about depression as an illness. Okay, my dad's a manic depressive, which, as I've said before, is very exciting half the time. Now, the other half not so exciting.
Not so much fun.
Now, I've had depression in my life, but I'm not sure it's biological depression. I'm not sure it's chemical depression. Because I believe that, life is hard for everybody. As Edwards testified last night, we want to make life better and easier for people to have a good life in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, life is difficult for everybody. And the only real difference between depression and disappointment is your level of commitment. It's what you believe. Now, paranoia and erratic behavior is something else. The prescription of drugs administered by Colonel Richard J. Tubb, the White House physician, can impair the president's mental faculties and decrease both his physical capabilities and his ability to respond to a crisis, administration aides admit privately. See, again, don't know if it's true, but sounds good to me.
Sounds kind of drudge of the left.
That's all right. He's overly medicated.
Doesn't matter.
We have so few opportunities to be propagandists for the right reasons. I want to know why Michael Moore doesn't direct some Kerry ads. You know what I mean? I want to know, so what? There's so few outlets for us to stand up to their tidal wave of propaganda, and CNN, clearly not the liberal media. Clearly not the liberal media. If any of you Republicans who are listening out there because you hate me, if you ever call CNN the liberal media again, you're so wrong and you're such a liar and we're not going to hear it. And quit whining about Bush bashing. Your president is not a victim. He's a liar and he's a bad president. And if he can't stand up to criticism, then why are you so supporting of him? They keep talking about how, like, the liberals are just attacking Bush. It's like he's the war president. He should be able to take it.
You can't do that. You have to support the troops. The only way you can support the troops is by supporting the president.
That's, well, you know, first of all...
See, you got ready to say something.
First of all, I'm starting
Kayla,
to realize...
Kayla, you got your finger on the button, man?
First of all, I realize that the reason why they're nervous is clearly because the dude's on drugs. Yeah, if this is true...
Speculating, you understand.
I'm speculating. If Bush is this medicated, if he's this medicated, clearly there's no way for him to really respond to the attacks.
Do we have Manic Depression by Jimi Hendrix anyway?
I wish we did.
I wish we did.
Song.
Anyway.
So, but here's the killer. Listen to this. This is the great part. Tubb prescribed the antidepressants after it clearly upset Bush, stormed off stage on July 8th, refusing to answer reporters' questions about his relationship with indicted Enron executive Kenny Boy. And here's a quote that they have in here that Bush apparently said. He said, I got to say it to us so I don't tip anything. He said, quote, keep those mother away from me, unquote. He screamed at an aide backstage. If you can't, quote, he said, quote, if you can't, I'll find someone who can.
Ooh.
Now, the scary thing about this story, whether it's true or not, is that you can completely visualize this cat acting like this. And if he's being treated medically for paranoia and erratic behavior, depression is one thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's something that a lot of people can understand. But erratic behavior and paranoia in a president, that he needs medication to treat paranoia, that's some troubled stuff.
Now, you wouldn't hear this on the West Wing.
You might hear it on the West Wing, actually.
You might?
Maybe not.
If
maybe
you can't
right.
do it, I'll find somebody who can.
Oh, that you mean.
Yeah.
But the West Wing, they would certainly say, like, you know, Martin Sheen would certainly say, I need pills, I'm upset. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world. The San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation. And Sirius Satellite Radio says, well, Sirius says, we got
Eminem. Multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius. Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
My opinion about the world counts, and I have something to say.
Young people today are acutely aware of the world around them. And optimists give these youth a chance to be heard through their Optimist Essay Contest.
I want to express my feelings, and I want the world to know what I think.
Our local optimists are giving young people that opportunity through the Optimist Essay Contest. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Thank you.
We've definitely been up. Like, we've started right out the gate, like, blasting away. It's 6 in the morning here in New York, and it's 54 past whatever hour it is where you are.
You know what this is, don't you? This is like we've been up all night, and we're just coming in. Instead of getting up at, like, 2 o'clock and coming in here at 4, it's like we've been up since, like, maybe 10:30, 11, and we've been partying all night.
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting close to that wall.
Yeah. I hope we don't hit it, like, right at, like, the top at, like, 8 o'clock.
Right.
So I think that, depression might be the least of George Bush's problems.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I think
he might actually be
schizophrenic. I'm not sure.
I'm a war president.
We got a caller from New York listening on WLIB that's got some issue with me. How are you, Elizabeth?
Hi.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. You sound chipper.
You're pretty perky for whatever time of the morning it is.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I don't really agree with Bush on any of his policies, and I'm a Democrat, and I'm planning on voting for Kerry. But I really hope you don't make fun of him if he's on medication for depression, because there's millions of Americans that have problems. And 1 in 3 of Americans will see a psychologist at some point in their lifetime.
I see a psychologist
and
every
week.
He's
clinically depressed. I think that's a low blow.
You haven't heard Mark's dream diary, have you?
I appreciate your call, Elizabeth, but you're crazy. I mean, I know it's not a low blow. I mean, I see a therapist once a week. I've been on medicine before, and I understand depression. But you know what? It's like I'm not the president, and depression has got to be the least of his problems. I mean, you know, he's like clearly megalomaniacal. He's narcissistic. He might even be schizophrenic. He's obviously an unrecovered alcoholic. He's got a lot of issues that need to be dealt with that before I even acknowledge whether or not he's really clinically depressed or not.
Wait a minute. Are you saying he's unrecovered alcoholic?
Yes.
You mean you don't think he ever got over
it? Wait, is Elizabeth still there?
Yeah. No, I'm here. I think that the way you've been doing is fine. I just wanted to say I hope that it doesn't turn into something that's a little bit lower, because I think that as liberals, we can be a little bit more above just making fun of someone because they're on medication.
Yeah, but wait. This isn't just someone. It's the idiot president.
I understand, and I disagree with all of his policies, and I don't think that he should be president based on the things that he has done in his capacity as president.
Okay.
But I think that because someone might be clinically depressed,
I don't know
if that necessarily means that they are unfit to be president.
Well, but you know what? I think that hopefully, after November, he'll have plenty of time to treat his clinical depression and his alcoholism and so many of the other issues that seem to be plaguing this self-centered, unilateral, evil bastard that, maybe he'll have the rest of his life to sit and reflect and be properly medicated. I certainly wasn't taking shots at him. Yes, I was.
Well,
yes,
wait a minute. Wasn't there a presidential candidate who got bumped one time because there was some issue about clinical depression?
No,
it was Eagleton.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Eagleton.
But that was before, this medication craze. I think a lot of times that, depending on really how you diagnose, I mean, a lot of psychiatrists will immediately medicate people. There's an incredibly powerful lobby. The pharmaceutical lobby is powerful, and they invent syndromes. They want people on medicine. There's not a lot of practical therapy going on. I think the diagnosis of depression has gotten very vague.
Anyways, I agree.
I got more to say about that, because I'm not going to feel sorry for George Bush if he's clinically depressed, because he might need to be depressed.
Don't worry.
Here's the liberal agenda. One, let's rename Boston Sharptown. Two, continue Bush bashing, but with soothing southern accent.
Ooh.
Three, tell Barber to give you an Edwards. I'll take the Edwards, please. Four, regardless of how his speech goes tonight, tell everyone Kerry was a better speaker than Hillary, Bill, Barack, Ted, Al, Howard, John, or even Teresa. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, hope is on the way, and it takes more than 30 minutes, it's free.
Ooh.
If it takes more than 30 minutes, it's free. I'm stumbling everywhere.
That's okay.
I'm not depressed, though.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Terror Watch, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and our good friend Florida Congresswoman Corrine Brown, all here on Air America Radio.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
Hey,
"Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends." "Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol."
"But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later..."
"No, I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until..."
"The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again."
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Compromise off, serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It looks like the state of Florida is already gearing up for a historical repeat. With Election Day virtually around the corner, state officials say there's no need for auditing because a computer crash erased records from Miami-Dade County's first widespread use of touchscreen voting machines. Election reform groups are demanding an audit in more than a dozen counties during Florida's August 31st primary. Florida officials, with the backing of the Governor Jeb Bush, are insisting that the audits of all touchscreen votes during the 2002 gubernatorial primary election were unnecessary, even though records of the votes were lost during computer crashes last year. Failure to resolve the problems with the touchscreen voting machines means history has a strong chance of repeating itself in November. The Democrats conducted their roll call last night, officially handing the nomination to John Kerry and John Edwards for this year's presidential contest. Party faithful heard from more stars last night, but it appears none shone brighter than New York's own Al Sharpton.
"The promise of America provides that those who work in our health care system can afford to be hospitalized in the very bags they clean up every day. The promise of America is that government does not seek to regulate your behavior in the bedroom, but to guarantee your right to provide food in the kitchen."
Reverend Al Sharpton at the Democratic National Convention last night. It was the same theme he sounded in his unsuccessful presidential campaign, but it worked for John Edwards last night. He gave what was essentially an acceptance speech as the Democrats' vice presidential nominee at the convention in Boston, saying he and John Kerry will work to build one America. Touting John Kerry's policies on taxes, health care, and education, Edwards led delegates in a rousing chant of "Hope is on the way." It was a variation of the "Help is on his way" mantra of President Bush some 4 years ago. John Kerry's nomination for president has been sealed in a boisterous late-night roll call at the convention. Ohio put Kerry over the top, giving him the votes necessary to capture the party nomination. He'll accept that nomination tonight. In other news, Iraq was the scene of another execution yesterday. This according to Arab television network Al Jazeera. A militant group holding two Pakistani contractors hostage had been executed. Group holding the hostages was identified as the Islamic Army in Iraq. The victims were kidnapped and were sentenced to death because their country was discussing sending more troops to Iraq. A video showed the bodies of the Pakistani victims, but the network declined to air the video because of its graphic nature. And Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi and State Secretary Colin Powell are welcoming a Saudi-led initiative on stabilizing Iraq. The idea would have Arab and Muslim nations that do not border Iraq contribute to a new force. Iraq believes security involvement by its neighbors could spawn political conflicts. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The Great Morning Show is... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's guy talk. Morning sports with an edge. Oh, my God, come on.
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Chris wants to know if he should buy Google stock when it's offered. I'll tell him why not to after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Chris is thinking about buying Google stock at its initial offering. Past couple of days, I've been bombarded with information about the new Google IPO. What do you think about buying shares of Google? IPO, for those of you that don't know, is initial public offering. I would not put a dime in it.
And that's not to say that Google isn't wonderful. However, there's an entire business landscape littered with dot-com going public failures and one or two successes. The point is you're entering one of the most risky business landscapes that there has ever been known to man. And you're going to do that with a single stock investment, which adds even more risk. I can tell you that I own some aggressive growth stock mutual funds that invest in some dot-com stocks as a part of a whole portfolio strategy. And that lowers my risk way low. And if this Google IPO is awesome, they'll be buying into it. But I wouldn't buy it. I don't buy single stocks. You stand a better shot at the roulette wheel, dude. You really do.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
During the next 5 seconds, think about this. How do newborns learn?
Come on, smile for Daddy.
Clap
your hands.
That's right, with their parents, Mom and Dad. Affection and games are important to nurture a baby's self-esteem. But did you know that his developing brain needs even more? Now, if we could hear this baby's brainwave, it might sound like this. On the other hand, the brainwave of a baby who is read to, sung to, and talked to in full sentences would sound more like this. Big difference, isn't it? Scientists have proven that a baby's brain develops better when you read, sing, and speak with complete sentences, especially during the first year of life. So talk to your baby at bath time, read before bedtime, maybe even sing while you're changing diapers. An early start. Now that's smart. A message from El Valor McCormick Tribune Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
You want a cure for depression? Listen to Al Sharpton's speech last night. Listen to Barack Obama's speech last night. Listen to Edwards.
That was Obama before
two nights ago. You want a cure for depression? We're talking about depression a little bit because I had a story from Capitol Hill Blue. May not be a true story that our president is on medication for depression, but also maybe for paranoia and belligerent behavior. Is it belligerent? What was the word used? Hold on a minute, and I'll tell you exactly what the word
was. I think it was
for.
Belligerent.
No, it wasn't. It was erratic behavior.
Ooh, erratic.
And then a woman called and said, look, if the president is really depressed, I don't think you should make fun of him. Look, let me explain something to you about depression. It's a very vague diagnosis, and I'm not just talking to her. But I think, you know, if someone comes up to you and says, I think you might be clinically depressed, the proper response might be, well, thank you. That means I'm awake. Is there any indication we shouldn't be depressed? Are you living on the same planet as me? I mean, come on, maybe depression is a reasonable human response to this, what we're going through as a species, and it's meant to propel us into the next evolutionary step. Maybe it's the people that are happy all the time that have real problems. Maybe it's those people, the people that are like, hey, how's it going? I don't know, I feel great. Again, well, that's creepy and weird. Maybe you should be on medication. Clearly you're self-centered, narcissistic. I don't know, but you know, you're draining me with your happy because you move on because I'm doing the big work here.
No, the happy stuff is self-medication, and we all know what that is.
But I'm just saying it's a vague diagnosis. And truth be told, if the Bush is on medicine, if the president is on medication for any truly clinical symptoms, the public has a right to know. John Dean makes a great point in his book about Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney is a very sick man. He was a very sick man when he was, you know, nominated and accepted the nomination to be vice president, and he held that from the American public. And that is something the American public should know about their elected officials.
Oh, you're talking about the heart attack stuff, not mentally sick.
Yeah, just the heart attacks, not
okay.
About the evil
we'll get to the lizard stuff later.
I just want to take a quick call from Amy, then we're going to go into the convention stuff. Hi, Amy. Good morning, Staten Island. What's
hey.
Up?
Hey. How goes it, Amy?
She there?
Amy! Ooh.
I guess we lost her. I don't know how that happened.
No.
Okay.
Amy!
All right. Nope.
I guess Amy, we
let's move on.
Amy.
So last night, Edwards was the first to really start to talk about how the Democrats are planning on changing the country and the world.
He talked about very specific policy changes that the Kerry Edwards administration, should they get elected, would make that would really draw some very stark differences between how the Bush administration approaches these policy issues and how they would approach these
right.
policy issues. One of them, and it's interesting you brought this up, includes health care.
I stand here tonight ready to work with you and John to make America stronger, and we have much work to do. Because the truth is, we still live in a country where there are two different Americas. One for all those people who have lived the American dream and don't have to worry. And another for most Americans, everybody else, who struggle to make ends meet every single day. It doesn't have to be that way. We can build one America. We can build one America where we no longer have two health care systems. One for families that get the best health care money can buy, and then one for everybody else, rationed out by insurance companies, drug companies, HMOs. Millions of Americans have no health coverage at all. It doesn't have to be that way. We have a plan. We have a plan that will offer all Americans the same health care that your senator has. We can give you tax breaks to help you pay for your health care. And when we're in office, we will sign a real patient's bill of rights into law so that you can make your own health care decisions.
Did he? You know, we both looked at each other at the same time in that little clip.
He snorted a little.
He did. He went.
He did.
That's right. There ain't nothing wrong with it.
No, no. The guy was fighting a cold.
Yeah.
But I did hear a little snort.
Yeah. What, did you hear it too, Kalo?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It was there.
But let's not be critical of his snorting. Let's talk about the issues.
That's
Why
right.
aren't they talking about the issues?
All right, we got another issue.
We're fighting for our lives here.
For those of you who don't know, that was a caller that has never called us back.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be put on the air, but his voice was so distinct and so powerful, I decided to emulate it for the rest of time.
And he's down in front of our studios now, stopping traffic.
Issues.
You want issues? Let's hear John Edwards on education.
We shouldn't have two public school systems in this country, one for the most affluent communities and one for everybody else. None of us believe that the quality of a child's education should be controlled by where they live or the affluence of the community they live in. It doesn't have to be that way. We can build one school system that works for all our kids, gives them a chance to do what they're capable of doing. Our plan. We'll reform our schools and raise standards. We can give our schools the resources that they need. We can provide incentives to put our best teachers in the subjects and the places where we need them the most. And we can ensure that 3 million children have a safe place to go when they leave school in the afternoon. We can do this together, you and I.
Oh, they're talking about the issues.
Yes, we're talking about the issues.
Oh, thank goodness. We're not dying out here anymore. We're talking about the issues.
Now, these are two very tough issues. Health care, where it seems like the costs never even level off, much less go down. They always seem to be on the incline, where people are paying $10 a pop for, you know, simple medication.
Dude,
and an education.
I can't believe insurance costs. You know, if I wasn't in the union and if I wasn't protected and employed, I mean, how much it would cost me just for insurance, just to get coverage? It's insane
that
people aren't able to get affordable health care. And that's because we, you know, the health care system is owned by insurance companies and HMOs. It's ridiculous. It's criminal.
Well, you know, the Kerry Edwards ticket is talking about a mix of government programs and using the private sector. Remember, there are over 40 million people in this country, many of them children, who have no health care, no health insurance whatsoever. So if anything goes wrong, they're on their own. And you're talking about, in many cases, people who work in jobs where you can get, you know, a migrant construction worker, for example.
Right.
Has a great deal of difficulty finding health care. One of their kids catches a cold, they just got to wait it out, you know.
Ridiculous.
And I think that John Edwards, last night, spoke to those people who are in those situations, who have to worry about whether or not they can stretch one paycheck that 2 weeks to the next paycheck. Whether or not they could, you know, if there's some unforeseen expense, their car breaks down, you know, one of their kids gets sick, anything, they have to then, you know, it becomes a crisis in their lives.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of Americans forget that these people are out here. And I think Edwards and the Reverend Al Sharpton reminded that convention last night, for those who didn't know this,
that there's a lot of people who don't have much.
Yeah.
Still.
And by the way, a lot of the delegates to this convention, these 5,000 people who are there as delegates, as opposed to the 15,000 well-fed, well-paid media people.
And the 20,000, yeah, reporters.
Yeah, reporters. Yeah, they get paid pretty well, most of them. Yeah. But a lot of these delegates, they have spent all year putting together the money to go to this convention, to stay in a hotel. Boston's not a cheap city.
Not
to
at
go,
all.
You know, and to eat and to participate in this process. And Al Sharpton drew the attention and the applause of almost all of them with his strong endorsement of the Kerry Edwards ticket, as well as his take on what's at stake during this particular election year.
The reason we are fighting so hard, the reason we took Florida so serious, is our right to vote wasn't gained because of our age. Our vote was soaked in the blood of martyrs, soaked in the blood of Goodman, Cheney, and Sumner, soaked in the blood of four little girls in Birmingham. This vote is sacred to us. This vote can't be bargained away. This vote can't be given away.
Goes on for about another 10 seconds. There we go.
In all due respect, Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale.
Doesn't sound like a rabble rouser, does it?
Oh, man, he meant business. He was coming to kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw his face, man. You know, he did the first six that was on the books. You know what I mean? Here are the 6 minutes I'm going to do. And then I'm just going to address a couple questions.
Yep.
Bam, bam, bam. People are up out of their seats. People are levitating during Al Sharpton's speech. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
The Wall Street Journal describes him as the biggest star in the music world. The San Francisco Chronicle considers him to be the most compelling music icon of his generation. And Sirius Satellite Radio says, well, Sirius says, we got him.
Eminem, multi-platinum recording artist Eminem, along with Shady and Interscope Records, are coming to Sirius. Catch one of the most controversial rappers of our time as he brings the streets to satellite.
Uncensored.
Coming this fall.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hi, I'm Meg Ryan for Doctors Without Borders. Did you know that more than 14 million people die each year from infectious diseases such as tuberculosis, sleeping sickness, and malaria? Doctors Without Borders, which works in more than 85 countries around the world, is tired of sending their patients home because the treatment is too old, too expensive, or not available. Get informed and get involved by visiting Doctors Without Borders' traveling exhibit called the Access Expo. It's coming to your city this year. For more information, go to their website, doctorswithoutborders.org.
Thank God, man. Thank God for medication. Thank God for God. Thank God for belief. Thank God for rational people. Well, no, thank rational people for rational people.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't. You know, I'm just trying to create the umbrella, man. There's enough room for everybody. There's going to be pie and hope for everybody.
We got a big tent
on the way, man.
Big tent.
Big tent, and there's a hope buffet right over there. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm going to the therapist today, right after.
Uh-oh.
And here's my last dream diary of the week. I'm inside John Kerry's brain, and it rocks. It's a huge Italian palazzo flooded with sunlight. Fountains gurgle in the middle of a stately marble courtyard. Peacocks roam the ground. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto plays softly in the distance. I want to drag a futon in there and just never leave. Peaceful, isn't it? Someone says. I turn and there's Kerry wearing a toga and a Caesar haircut. I say, wow, John, I thought it would be nice, but not this nice. I mean, you should see the inside of my brain. It looks like a bad day in Fallujah in there. Kerry says, thanks. I like it. And it's rent controlled. Across the room are dozens of sunlit corridors that lead off in all directions. Where do those go? Law, politics, ethics, history, foreign policy. A place for everything and everything in its place, John says. Way over in the far corner is a small metal door labeled non-memories, no admittance. Kerry shakes his head and says, you don't want to go in there. I open it anyway. I close the door as fast as I can. Kerry says, everyone wants to look in there, but nobody can handle it. Why doesn't anyone want to visit the other rooms? Suddenly, there's an incredible loud knocking sound and a bell tolling. Kerry doesn't bat an eye. That's Bush. He's always trying to break into my head. Now his people are publishing pictures of me in that anti-contamination suit. Like they're going to do it. They're going to decaucus me. You say the Vietnam Lounge? You saw the Vietnam Lounge. It's going to take more than a picture, Junior. I ask, do you ever get into his head? Kerry says, all the time, Mark. Bush's head is filled with balloon animals and bloody stumps and a cold wind. And Cheney's always in there chewing on a baby. I have to come back here and wash up. I say, this place is fantastic. Do you mind if I bring a futon and crash in here? Kerry stares down at his sandals and clears his throat. You know what, Mark? That may not be such a good idea. The landlord likes to keep it quiet around here. I woke up and my bed was filled with Doric columns.
Ooh.
Holy mackerel. That was a mouthful.
Sure was. But it was good. I liked that dream diary.
I forgot, you know, that it was that complicated when I was jotting it down. Where did I screw up? Oh, like they're going to Dukakis. That's it. Going to Dukakis me. To Dukakis me. To Dukakis.
Dukakis as a verb.
To Dukakis. Now it's time for...
Terror Watch.
Not meaning to trivialize the world events, just meaning to pump it up a little with music that trivializes it.
Yes.
What do you got?
Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to sound like Milt Mortensen over here now.
Afghanistan, yeah. Democracy is going smoothly in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And if it's going this smoothly in Afghanistan, think of the possibilities for Iraq. Bombing in Afghanistan. Killed two people, and of course, Doctors Without Borders, who have done a lot of great work all over the planet. I've talked to a number of different people from Doctors Without Borders, or in the French, Médecins Sans Frontières,
I guess. I have no idea.
But at any rate, and of course, they are a Nobel Prize winning medical group. They are saying now they are quitting Afghanistan.
Wow.
Saying that the government has failed to act on evidence that local warlords were behind the murders of five staff members. Now, did you know five staff members from Doctors Without Borders have been killed in Afghanistan?
I had no idea. And also, the bombs, weren't they targeted at election workers?
Yes, they were, because people are trying to sabotage this election.
But would it be the Taliban that we didn't quite successfully, you know, get out of Afghanistan, or would it be the warlords that are now running the country?
I'm beginning to wonder which one it is, because remember now, this bomb actually went off in a mosque. Now, you figure that most Islamists would not do that just because they recognize the sacred nature of a mosque.
Don't crap where you eat.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this mosque was where people were registering for these elections. Three rockets were fired into Kabul overnight, blew up an arms dump at a military base, and narrowly missed the Chinese embassy, and you don't want to mess with the Chinese.
No one wants to mess with the Chinese.
1.4 billion people are rarely wrong.
Especially when we owe them money.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we now see the kind, and it's interesting because Iraq has kind of overshadowed Afghanistan.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, people's consciousness of what's going on there.
Well, that's because that's what they wanted to happen, is that they were in Afghanistan and they didn't quite effectively do the job they were supposed to do, and then they thought they'd go into Iraq, so they didn't want people to remember about Afghanistan. By they, I mean Bush and company.
Now, this last explosion took place in a mosque in Andar, which is about 90 miles southwest of the capital city of Kabul. And, you know, people were showing up with IDs that would allow them to vote. The election now is scheduled, and I do emphasize the term scheduled, for October 9th. I don't know whether that's going to be, you know, a final vote or not. I think they've pushed it back a couple of times. And they're saying, the government is saying, that this is the work of the enemies of Afghanistan. They say that this is Taliban-led militants who have condemned the election and threatened anyone that was taking part
in
the election.
Wait, the Taliban that we took out of power?
Yes, the Taliban that we took out of power.
Oh, I'm confused.
So am I. Huh. And perhaps so are just, you know, everyday Afghans who, again, like the Iraqis, want to live their life in peace. They've been handed this carrot of democracy, handed this carrot of popular rule. But they apparently are not, handed the other half of that, which is some security, when they try to exercise the rights of the democratic process.
Wait, but I thought they had Hamid Karzai there, who is, you know, he dresses nicely. Anyways.
The well-dressed and westernized.
But I guess that the Afghani warlords have divvied up the country once again into, you know, opium-bearing fields, and the Taliban are trying to get a foothold again. And I'm obviously, you know, just being a little broad here, but it just seems that whatever we did there, you know, wasn't effective. And that was really where they were trained. That was really supposed to be the focus of the original military action.
Well, now you see Karzai's position may not be all that secure in that Afghanistan's foreign minister has decided to back a fellow member of government who is challenging Karzai in the upcoming election. This is Foreign Minister Abdullah. And he said he is supporting the candidacy of Education Minister Yanis Kauni. And forgive me, I'm probably mispronouncing his name. Karzai said that Defense Minister Mohammed Fahim would not be on the ballot as his running mate for first vice president. And because Kauni opposed the move against Fahim, he decided he was going to run himself because he resigned his position. So now Karzai may have some very serious opposition for this October 9th election, no matter what else happens. I think most people thought Karzai would waltz right through this.
There clearly is the opposition. The ones with the bombs are probably the most threatening opposition.
But see, they don't want any elections at all.
You should see their negative ads.
Yeah, right.
The bomb was bad. They've got some stuff on Karzai. And Iraq, too. Iraq blew up a bit yesterday as well. You know, it's amazing how the mainstream media is just sort of detached from that. You know, how they're just playing along with the handover story.
Yeah.
I mean, 68 people were killed in a suicide blast yesterday.
68. I mean, at the time we were on the air yesterday, they had 57, I think. 68 people dead. And because we've handed over power, it's no longer a story that Americans have to be concerned about.
And then three U.S. soldiers were killed also in separate attacks.
Well, that we have to be concerned about, obviously, because they're Americans, I guess.
Absolutely.
We've always made this differentiation, and the world does not care for this. I mean, everyone has their own nationalistic bent, That's obvious.
Yeah.
But when you only focus on American casualties, and this is not to, you know, dog American loss of life, but when you only focus on that, you got a very, very serious problem with the rest of the world who really thinks you ought to be paying attention to them as well. Coming up, Florida Congresswoman Corrine Brown, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and Rapture Watch here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Democrats conducted roll call last night, officially nominating John Kerry and John Edwards for this year's presidential ticket. Kerry will officially accept the nomination in a speech tonight and his final coronation before the end of the convention. Another group of insurgents in Iraq says it's holding a Somali truck driver hostage and will behead him if his Kuwaiti employer does not stop working in Iraq. Statement came on the heels of another claim by another group of having executed two Pakistani contractors. Families of September 11 victims yesterday said they will keep a watchdog list of any members of Congress who oppose legislation implementing changes recommended by the 9/11 Commission. And crude oil prices have hit a 21-year, $43 per barrel in New York high as markets reacted to a threat by Russian authorities to shut down most of the production from that country's largest oil company. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I'll take the Mayhem in the AM breakfast special. What do I get with that? No. The Mayhem in the AM. The great morning show, it's... What the... No, the one with Steak Shapiro, Mike Bell, and Nick Cellini. No, it's guy talk. Morning sports with an edge. Oh, my God, come on!
Mayhem in the AM. Sports talk anyone can understand. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ameridet has stopped paying Ron's bills, and creditors are hounding him. I'll explain why after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Ron is using Ameridet, but creditors aren't getting their money.
Been listening to you and doing a lot of the stuff that you talk about. One of the things that we started doing before we found out about you is we went to Ameridet, a debt consolidation place.
Oh, yuck.
We've been with them for a little over a year, haven't had any problems, and then this month we find out that three of our creditors, that they didn't receive their payment on time, and they're charging us late fees.
Shocking. Are you aware that they filed bankruptcy?
No, I'm not.
Ameridet filed Chapter 11 about 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
So don't send them any more money.
Okay.
Do they have an electronic access to your checking account?
Yeah, they do.
Block it today.
Okay.
Put a stop payment on it as if it were a bad check and block it today. Do not allow them to have any more of your money. You are going to have to take this bull by the horns and run with it now, sir.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mr. Maron.
Good morning, Dr. Riley. We're on Air America Radio, if that's something you don't know already. on the phone right now is a it's her second time on our show.
Friend of the room.
Friend of the room. Friend of the congressman for the congresswoman for the 3rd District of Florida, 6th term, second vice chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Corrine Brown, is on the phone. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you in the tub today?
No. I didn't hear that.
Are you having a good time at the convention?
Oh, yes. It has been a great convention. The speakers have been wonderful. You know, the only little drawback is the security. It just takes a long time, but we all have gotten used to that.
It looks like everybody's having a great time.
Oh, yes, it's wonderful.
How's it compared to other Democratic conventions you've
been to? You know, this is my second time coming to Boston.
Oh, yeah?
For a convention, and it's better the second time around.
I'm watching on TV because they decided to leave me and Mark here in New York, so we're covering it from our couches in our apartments.
No sour grapes or anything, but you know, we're upset that we're not in Boston, okay?
Oh, it is. So much energy here.
Boy, Al Sharpton knocked it out of the park, huh?
Oh, yes, he did. I saw him right after he came off the stage. And, I mean, he was wonderful. He's going to be down with me next week in Jacksonville.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm hosting the National SCLC Convention, and he's going to be my human rights speaker on Tuesday.
All right. Now, the SCLC, for people who don't remember, is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which was the organization that the late Dr. Martin Luther King used to head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to a little bit of Reverend Sharpton, because he mentioned your home state in his speech last night. Let's go
yes.
to that sound. Let's get your reaction to this.
The reason we are fighting so hard, the reason we took Florida so seriously, is our right to vote wasn't gained because of our age. Our vote was soaked in the blood of martyrs, soaked in the blood of Goodman, Cheney, and Swanner, soaked in the blood of four little girls in Birmingham. This vote is sacred to us. This vote can't be bargained away. This vote can't be given away. Mr. President, read my lips. Our vote is not for sale.
Wow. Wow.
Powerful
That's
stuff.
Right.
And now I just got a report from that they found some touchscreen voter problems with the election of, when was that, in May 2003, the gubernatorial primaries. Did you read about that?
Oh, yes. It was a front page story of the New York Times yesterday.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. That's why I had such a, you know, that's why I'm trying to raise the conscious level.
Oh, yeah.
Because these people in Florida, they stole the election in 2000, but they will steal it again if we are not all vigil.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I mean, they, meaning Jeb Bush and Glenda Hood, passed an executive order saying that you can't have a recount in Florida. It's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in court on that just 2 days ago because the civil rights community took them to court. But why it – so you know that if you're trying to set up a system that once again will disenfranchise people so they don't want no count afterwards, you know, if there are problems, no count.
Now, Congresswoman, are you confident now that the Democratic Party and this ticket has enough – people, enough lawyers in place to try and blunt this effort on the part of Jeb Bush?
Well, no, I'm not yet. I'm supposed to be meeting with a group of lawyers later this morning that are working in Florida, and I have met a lot of people from New York and other places that they want to help. They want to come down to Florida during election time, and I welcome them. But the key is that election day, it could be over. They could try to put the fix in before elections. That's in this felon list. The problem is so many people on that list are not felons.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Of course, when you even talk about felons, people who paid their dues and served their time, only six states still will not let them vote afterwards. Six, seven, old Jim Crow laws.
Yeah.
And Florida is one of them because, like I said, in my precinct alone, you know, this was a system. Old faulty machines, they threw out 27,000 votes.
And that's in Jacksonville alone.
I know you know about the butterfly ballot. That was 4,000.
Incredible.
27,000 that to this day have never been counted.
Unbelievable.
And they vote 98% Democratic.
Me and Mark are going to have to come down there.
Yeah, we're going to have to deal with this.
You know what Reverend Sharpton said is so true. Because African Americans in particular, because so many people died so we could have the right to vote, really value that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Particularly older African Americans.
Yeah, like me.
It's so important to them. And to think that you could just steal our vote, it's just unacceptable. And what is really unacceptable is that they will do it again. If you saw Fahrenheit 9/11 in the end, President Bush said, you know, once a fool, but
Oh, no, that's great. Thank you so much, Congresswoman Brown, for being with us. Are you going to a party tonight?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm supposed to go to the convention at 3 o'clock, and I will be there till 11 o'clock. So usually that is the end of the day for me.
But this is
a special night, though, now.
Big night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe so.
All right, thanks for being with us.
Congresswoman.
Okay.
Bye. She's great.
She
Give us a
great.
Call, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. Let us know what's on your mind, and we'll talk to you about it here on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Get out.
Hi there, your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tramey cast the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Here we go. Morning's edition. Mark Riley is here.
Good day.
I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio. You can blog. Blog on morningsedition.com. There's a lot of things you can do. You can buy books. You can blog. You can just look at our pretty mugs.
Books at a discount.
Yeah, the discount. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 31. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, it is nice out. I read a story that says that thanks to our help, the Iraqi Postal Service is improving. Well done. It's fun getting mail, isn't it? You can spend all that extra tax cut money ordering from catalogs like Brookstone and Victoria's Secret and the Sharper Image. That self-heating neck vibrator is a real lifesaver, huh? All right. Okay, maybe not. But it's good for democracy to have an efficient postal service. Here in America, the Pony Express allowed white people the perfect excuse to disseminate the Plains Indians. And later on, it allowed such retail visionaries as Sears Roebuck to sell opium to bored housewives under the label Dr. McDougal's Nerve Medicine. You can get anything in the mail. Gourmet cheese samplers, Civil War figurines, even anthrax. Yeah, even bombs. Plus, the Postal Service is a good source of jobs. There must be thousands of Iraqis willing to go door-to-door in shell-shocked communities, ducking bullets and running away from kidnappers. Isn't that what it said? The rain, snow, sleet, or hail of bullets? You do that already, but in the Postal Service, you can get paid for it. Yep. One last note. The Saddam commemorative stamp is really a bad idea. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I said, all right. Good luck and God bless. This is day 31 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Here we go. Sergio in Miami on WINZ. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, man?
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can. Fine.
Okay, fine. Guys, listen, you've been down here now for about a month now. Listen, I got to tell you, my radio is fixated on 9:40 a.m. because this is where you guys come through. Before it was a sports station, let me tell you guys, I just love listening to you because there were times I had to listen to some of the garbage on the right just to get angry and then turn it off because I didn't have anything else to listen
to. Yeah.
You're from Haiti, Sergio.
What I want to talk about this morning is, the so-called liberal media. Last night I was listening to, I saw the speech by Reverend Sharpton.
Right.
Let me tell you, I was so moved. He was talking to me as an African-American, as an immigrant from Haiti. He was speaking for me on my behalf. I did not have a time last night. He was speaking for me.
Yes.
And yet, as soon as he got off the stage, he didn't even within seconds. People like Judy Woodruff on CNN and the other guy next to him, I don't remember his name.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
The other one. We're already calling
Jeff Greenfield.
He was bashing the president. What did Reverend Sharpton say last night? I was bashing Bush.
I agree with you, man. I was so mad.
You were not supposed to touch Bush. You're not supposed to say anything about it. And yet, this man did not say anything bad about President Bush. He was speaking for me.
Yes.
And I got to tell you guys, you're doing a great job. There's no so-called liberal media. They're all on the other side. And I tell you what, I am I have such a great feeling about this ticket. I think this ticket's going to win. For some reason, this is a winning ticket. That is our numbers, my friend. It is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sergio.
He's great, man. That's what we were talking about all morning. I couldn't believe it either. Yeah, not just saying that he was, attacking Bush and that was somehow below the belt or something.
Yeah.
But that, he took up too much time.
Yeah. From pundits.
I mean, the guy delivered the message, man. It was unbelievable. I mean, and like the first thing these idiots said, and they got right into his face.
Yeah.
What's your name?
You took too much time. Bruce Reed is waiting. What's wrong with you?
I was just as mad as Sergio was.
See, there's a point at which, Mark, people are going to have to take back politics from the media. All right? It's one thing to talk about the politicians. Politicians got problems. Politicians mess up a lot. Yes, all true. But the other side of the equation is we don't need 15,000 filters to experience or to interpret for us what we are seeing on television. One of the most instructive things for me, Mark, and I know you don't follow sports, there was a football game a few years ago where they got rid of the commentators. Yeah. All they did was actually broadcast the feed of the game. You know what?
It was probably great.
I didn't miss them.
Yeah, I mean, it baffled me. I was furious. And then they had Ralph Reed on after Edwards. I don't know what CNN's trying to do. If they think they're being balanced, they're wrong. For them to condescend to Sharpton and think, first of all, I think they all think it's about them, and all they could think about was whether or not their programming would get screwed up. Edwards can handle it. Edwards is the VP candidate. He's the nominee. He can get up there and follow Sharpton. Sharpton had a right to take the time that he took, and he delivered the message, and he improvised, and he laid into him.
Let me throw something else at you about Sharpton.
Yeah.
Could it be that some of these people see Sharpton, who, by the way, has media aspirations of his own, as competition, and didn't want to give him too much face time, didn't want to give him the kind of play because they thought he might end up being competition down the road?
He scares all of them because he speaks his mind. We'll be back on Air America in just a second. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Yes.
Hi there, it's your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy, 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can slash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Send me to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley over there on Air America Radio. And on the phone, we've got the star himself, Al Sharpton. Good morning, Reverend Al Sharpton.
Good morning, Your Reverendness.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good job last night, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really did a job last night. Now, let me ask you right off the top, because we're getting a lot of calls from people who were outraged about the way the media covered what you did and what you said. First of all, it seemed to be people concerned only with whether you ran over, and some people are apparently, you know, upset about what you said. Did you plan on going longer than the 6 minutes you were allotted when you started?
Well, no, I planned to. I had told the party leaders that I was going to also answer what George Bush had said, where I happened to be present at the National Urban League in Detroit last Friday, and they said, fine. And I told them that I felt compelled to do it. I was there, and he had thrown down the gauntlet to black voters, which I felt was offensive. I think what the commentators wouldn't deal with is what drove it more overtime was the reaction of the audience. And I had to wait on the audience to stop to keep going. The other thing is, if they want to be honest about it, is that most of the candidates went overtime. I mean, the night before, Dean and others went overtime. I think what drove my time up was audience reaction. But
yeah,
guess what? We ended on time anyway.
Yeah,
I think the fact that Terry McAuliffe, the chairman of the party, personally asked me to come sit with him in the skybox and made the media cover me sitting there showed that the only ones complaining were probably some right-wing journalists and commentators who just didn't understand the significance of this convention allowing one of the candidates to answer George Bush, who had thrown the gauntlet down on black voters last Friday.
And you were doing too damn good. That's what it was.
Rev, let me ask you this. Your followers are traditionally cynical about politics, sometimes even cynical of the Democratic Party.
Right.
Did your speech last night send a signal to them that it was okay to come out and vote for this Kerry Edwards ticket? Will they come out? Are you going to take some steps on the campaign trail to see to it they come out?
Absolutely. I am, and you're right, and I think that we cannot win without dealing with that cynicism, and a lot of that cynicism is justified because of how there's been the ignoring of our issues and problems down through the years. And I wanted to send that signal that there's too much at stake, from Supreme Court seats to the whole questions around the war and the questions around the world. And I wanted to do that in a dramatic way. And I think if every part of this party does that, then you bring out the base constituency as Kerry and Edwards work on swing voters to win. But you can't win. There's nothing to swing if the base is not out.
Yeah, very true. Rev, there are some people who are arguing that the delegates to this convention are more progressive than the platform that has been endorsed by those same delegates. Do you find that at all?
Well, I mean, I'm hearing a lot of delegates say a lot of progressive things. You know, I don't know, Mark, that anyone really has played this heavy, instructive, monitoring role that the media is trying to play. No one told me to don't say anything like this or that, and no one told me this is out of line or in line. They gave a convention theme, asked us all to address that theme, and we did from our various perspectives. And I think that the media is trying to blow this up, and in many ways they're trying to have it both ways. Some of them are saying it's a boring, sleepy, scripted convention, and then when I step up, all of a sudden it becomes something that they can't understand or deal with. But at the end of the day, it will be the voters that decide. And again, I think if you saw the reaction of that crowd last night, people wanted someone that would deal with these issues. And I very pointedly did not attack Bush personally. I answered his questions.
Yeah.
The president raised some questions at the Urban League that I answered. I didn't call him any names. I didn't sloganeer on him. I said, you deserve an answer, and I'm going to answer them tonight. And I think what the press ought to do is go to the president today and say, you asked the questions. What do you deal with the answers? Did you not expect someone to answer you?
Yeah.
I mean, because the inference of his question was that blacks were voting Democratic because we were in some way non-thinking, just following some political line without thinking about it. And I wanted him to know that's not at all what happened. And that's not at all what's happening now.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I really thought it was great, Reverend Charbonneau. And I thought, you know, I think the media just gets in the way. I think that they want to make it about them, and they had nothing better to say, and clearly they weren't listening to you because you really delivered the message.
Well, thank you.
And also I want to know, as a performer myself, how much of that was improvised, sir?
A lot of it was thought out in advance, but once you get on the stage, a lot of it becomes improvised because you go with the rhythm of the crowd.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
I must admit, I did not at all predict the crowd reaction the way it would be.
Great.
It
was
once
great.
It starts flowing, you just go with it.
There
you
go. Thanks a lot, Reverend Sharpe.
Thanks, Rev.
All right. Yeah. In the next hour of Morning Tradition, former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Joe Wilson, the Presidential Daily Briefing, what's on tap tonight at the DNC, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The final coronation is tonight. As Democrat John Kerry accepts the nomination of the party going into the November election, Kerry is expected to give a detailed speech about his vision for the future of the country and outline why America would be better off if he unseats George W. Bush in the fall. Day three of the convention brought more Democratic stars to the fold, in which some subtle and in-your-face attacks were made on the president and his four-year record in office. One of the most strident was from the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Look at the current view of our nation worldwide as a result of our unilateral foreign policy. We went from unprecedented international support and solidarity on September 12, 2001, to hostility and hatred as we stand here tonight. We can't survive in the world by ourselves.
Reverend Al Sharpton at the Democratic National Convention last night. Following Sharpton later in the evening was Democratic Vice Presidential candidate John Edwards, who painted a promising picture about America's future once the Republicans leave the White House.
We're going to raise the minimum wage, we're going to finish the job on welfare reform, and we're going to bring good-paying jobs to the places where we need them the most. And by doing all those things, we're going to say no forever to any American working full-time and living in poverty. Not in our America. Not in our America. Not in our America.
Democratic Vice Presidential candidate John Edwards. In other news, an Israeli helicopter fired two missiles today at a Palestinian car in the Gaza Strip, killing at least two people, according to Palestinian security sources. Missiles hit the car as it was nearing the entrance of the Gaza town of Rafah, not far from the Egyptian border, the Palestinian sources said. Israeli helicopters often target militants. It was unclear whether the dead belonged to one of the militant groups. The army had no immediate comment. State Department envoy and his Chinese counterpart are arranging details for more talks on North Korea's nuclear program. Six nations are involved, the United States, China, Russia, Japan, and two Koreas. A U.S. embassy spokesman in Beijing says the next working group session will occur as soon as possible, saying the Americans are very flexible on timing. Envoys agreed last month to hold a fourth round of discussions by the end of September. There's word that crude oil shot to new highs yesterday, hitting $43 a barrel in New York. This is markets reacted to a threat by Russian authorities to shut down most of the production from that country's largest oil company. And the Federal Reserve yesterday reported that the U.S. economy cooled off in June and July as consumer spending, especially on autos, slowed significantly after a big surge in early spring. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Serious.
He's been around for more than 400 million years. He'll go through 20,000 teeth in his lifetime. He can grow up to 45 feet long and weigh 30,000 pounds. And he can go 3 months without eating. But then he's going to be really, really hungry. No, it's not your brother-in-law. It's a shark, silly. It's Shark Week on Sirius Discovery Channel Radio, 135.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Rhonda inherited cemetery plots. Now she wants to sell them. I'll help her not get stiff after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Rhonda needs to sell a cemetery plot.
What I'd like to know is how could one go about selling cemetery lots 1,500 miles away?
Whoa.
If you've inherited them, you have no need or no desire to use them, and these were purchased a long time ago.
I would contact 4 or 5 churches that are within a 5 or 10 mile radius, see if they have any kind of little newspaper that you could buy an ad in, and then I would also look at just traditional classified ads in the newspaper. People sell them that way. I've seen them for sale. Okay. Let's call funeral homes in the area. I'm trying to think who the customers are, but you know, that's... That's not funny. we got to find somebody that has the need here. You know, you might try to establish the market value, and if you discounted them, somebody at a local funeral home might buy them from you, knowing they can...
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very important.
Good.
To talk to kids about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
No, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dan.
Keep going.
Reading with you.
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. It's Thursday, and I am here. It's morning, and it's been quite a show, man. We just talked to Reverend Al Sharpton. We just talked to Kareem Brown. And we've had a great morning.
We're getting ready to talk to Joe Wilson.
Joe Wilson is going to be great.
That's right.
Because he's an advisor on foreign policy for Mr. John Kerry.
Senator
John Kerry is going to be going to be laying it down tonight.
Yep.
But I'll tell you something, man. I'm so worked up. I'm so furious at, you know, MSNBC. I'm furious at CNN. I'm furious at these reporters and these commentators, these pundits, thinking that this is about them. And also, I'm furious if anybody thinks that there is a liberal media out there other than this show. Because I'll be honest with you. Right after Sharpton kicks it out, you know, blows the roof off of the place, all Wolf Blitzer can say is, wow, it's going to really cut into the time. I wonder if he went, you know. And Judy Woodward's like, he seemed to have gone off message a little bit because he's being critical. And then, you know, what's it? Jeff Greenfield was like, I don't know. I didn't know. But whatever he said, I don't even remember what he said. And then they had, after Edwards, they had Ralph Reed on. And now look at this from MSNBC. They're keeping a tally, a Tuesday tally board of how many times they call. I'm not going to use the word Bush bashing here, because Bush bashing, the word bashing was, you know, was taken from the idea of gay bashing, you know, which is really, you know, that there's a victim there. And to consider Bush a victim is ridiculous. And it's like, and these conservatives, these Republicans, talk about, they call liberals whiny. I've never seen a whinier bunch of wussies in my life sitting around going, oh, they're being petty. They're bashing the Bush. Hey, if Bush is, I thought he's the war president. Can he take some criticism? Can he respond to it on his own? If you guys have to come together to protect, you know, the idea that Bush can't, you know, defend himself. You know, they are not Bush bashing. Reverend R. Sharpton, Al Sharpton did not, you know, he did not take any petty cracks on the guy. All I've seen at the Democratic Convention are people being critical of Bush's policy. And that is what you call engaging in a political debate, which is what this democracy is built on. Do you ever watch how the parliament works in England? All those guys do is go back and forth with criticism. If he can't take the criticism, then he's got no right to be president, which he doesn't anyways, because he's not even the real president. And first of all, quit being babies. You know, Republicans, I've never seen a bigger bunch of whiners in my life. And I know that when your convention happens, all you're going to have, all you've got is petty crap, because your president has done nothing. So all you're going to do is slander and try and put, you know, what, you think posting a picture of John Kerry in an anti-contamination suit is somehow going to indict him? You guys are pathetic. That's all I have to say if you're Republican and listening. You know, and if you're just getting up, you know, I know it's a little intense. The momentum is a little intense. But first, just 2 points I'm trying to make here. There is no liberal media. I'm completely disappointed with MSNBC. I'm completely disappointed and disillusioned with CNN. How dare you have Ralph Reed on for 8 minutes after Edwards gives his speech? All right. And how dare you dismiss Al Sharpton after he improvised and preached a speech that rose the spirits of the Democratic National Convention. And also, Republicans have just got to quit whining. What babies?
Why don't we give Al Sharpton, why don't we lobby to give Al Sharpton 10 minutes of FaceTime on CNN from the Republican National Convention? What do you think?
They should have I hope to God during the Republican National Convention they have plenty of Democrats, plenty of progressives, you know, being there to balance out the commentary. What a bunch of buzzkill. Ralph Reed, Tucker Carlson, please. And first of all, who are these people? What credentials do they have to talk about anything?
They're tough guys. That's what they are. They're tough guys, all of them, just like our president. Tough people.
But if he's so tough, what are they so worried about him getting attacked? Hey, quit bashing Bush. He's just a baby.
And Ted Kennedy did it 18 whole times.
Let Ted Kennedy do it. I mean, if this guy can't stand up to a little criticism, you know, I thought he was the war president.
Yeah.
I guess he's not the debate president, because that's too challenging.
Well, it was Al Sharpton's night and John Edwards' night last night. Of course, tonight, John Kerry is going to be taking center stage. His son and daughter are speaking, along with Max Cleland, the former senator, who will be introducing him, and former presidential candidate Wesley Clark as well. Edwards set the table for tonight's proceedings last night with a rousing populist speech that laid out the priorities of a Kerry Edwards administration.
And the truth is that every child, every family in America will be safer and more secure if they grow up in a world where America is once again looked up to and respected. That is the world we can create together. Tonight, as we celebrate in this hall, somewhere in America, a mother sits at her kitchen table. She can't sleep because she's worried. She can't pay her bills. She's working hard, trying to pay her rent, trying to feed her kids, but she just can't catch up. Didn't used to be that way in her house. Her husband was called up in the guard. Now he's been in Iraq for over a year. They thought he was going to come home last month, but now he's got to stay longer. She thinks she's alone. But tonight, in this hall, and in your homes, you know what? She's got a lot of friends.
Yep. Speaking to people where they live. And that's the same thing that Reverend Al Sharpton did. He invoked the memory of the late Ray Charles.
He certainly did. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I mean, he ended his speech. Now this is why Reverend Sharpton is a rhetorical genius at a certain level, because he ended his speech on the theme of America the Beautiful.
As you know, we lost Ray a few weeks ago But I sat there that morning and listened to Ray sing through those speakers, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for ample ways of grace, for purple mountains, majesty, across the fruited plain." And it occurred to me as I heard Ray singing that Ray wasn't singing about what he knew. Because Ray had been blind since he was a child. He hadn't seen many purple mountains. He hadn't seen many fruited plains. He was singing about what he believed to be. Mr. President, we love America. Not because of all of us have seen the beauty all the time. But we believed if we kept on working, if we kept on marching, if we kept on voting, if we kept on believing, we would make America beautiful for everybody. Start November. Let's make America beautiful again. Thank you, and God bless you.
What else can you say?
Take that, Obama.
Now you're trying to say he was in competition with Barack. You know, I think Al Sharpton was in competition with himself. Now, I swear to God.
I'll be honest with you. Everybody in the studio is funny. Right when he starts talking, you get into that groove, and immediately everyone's—you can't see—you were all fighting. These smiles.
Like, yeah.
He just starts smiling because he's like, it's such a riot. It's so powerful. It's so—he's so good at it.
Oh yeah,
he's a real pro.
He is a real pro, and I think that he fit in this convention better than anyone thought he would. Prior to it taking place, I really think that Al Sharpton. It's kind of like the way they
say
used to
that
look
about
at
him all the time. Oh, no, really? That,
yeah. They say, oh man, what is that wacko gonna say now?
But they always say that about Sharpton, and every time that he opens his mouth, people are like, "Wow, Sharpton's the only one talking the truth."
Yeah, absolutely. It happened all through the debate.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Thank God he was there.
Yeah. No. Right? Absolutely.
Funny. It's clever. He can turn a phrase. Can punch it out. It's beautiful.
And they got no opposite Sharpton in the Republican Party. Nobody can punch out a phrase like Dick Cheney? I don't think so. George W. Bush? Challenged. Who else they got?
Are you talking about the whiny Republicans?
Yes.
Oh, because they all they can do is whine.
The whiny Republicans.
They whine and they point and they blame. That's all they do. They're whiny blamers.
Well, you heard Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich says, get yourself a couple of wedge issues like gay marriage and stuff, and you can win if you use those wedge issues. Divide the country. That's your only hope. That's essentially what Gingrich is saying.
Yeah, whine, blame, and distract them by making them hate each other for reasons that are beneath them.
Absolutely.
It's, like, ridiculous. We get to talk to Ambassador Joe Wilson after the break here. We're going to address some of what he thinks John Kerry is going to do on foreign policy and also in dealing with the war in Iraq. So stay with us on Air America Radio.
As a small business owner, doing several things all at the same time is just another day at the office. So Sam's Club offers the option of doing two things at once. Buying items you need for your business, while at the same time buying items you need for your home. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get the same everyday low cost on items for your home as you do on items for your business. You've got a lot going on. Count on us to help you get it done. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
I'm Jim Hightower, and I've approved this message.
Jim Hightower is not running for office, but he is back this campaign season with an important word about the regime of King George V.
Let's stop beating around the bush. These people are nuts.
Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush is Hightower's hilarious new best-selling book, offering you unvarnished facts, insight, and humor to get you through this year's political spin cycle. Buy Let's Stop Beating Around the Bush today and make politics fun again. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy it today.
Okay. And I'm Tony Hawk. And I've got a new show called
Tony Hawk.
Hawk's Demolition Radio.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can hear it.
It's going to be action.
Serious 28.
It's skateboarding. It's music. It's action. It's funny. It's not boring.
Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio.
We're live every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Exclusively.
On Sirius.
Action.
Faction 28. I'll be talking through your satellite radio.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
Morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley over there.
Good morning.
Had Al Sharpton on. That was cool, man.
Yeah, we could take another hour after the normal time that the show goes off. I mean, we could just gorilla. Why don't we just gorilla now? Gorilla the network.
Sure, why not? Why not?
We're nobody's here.
We're the only ones here. Here, this Ramon sent this to me from Crawford. So here's the president's schedule. 9 o'clock a.m., wake up in Crawford. I had the worst nightmare. I was president, and everyone hated me. Ah! 10 a.m., have Secret Service arrest and execute Mountain Bike. Your days of tyranny are over. 11 a.m., watch Sharpton's speech on TiVo. Boy, the Republicans could really use an angry, funny black guy. No. See if we can get Fred Sanford for our conventions. 12 noon, watch Edward's speech on TiVo. Boy, the Republicans could really use an articulate Southern lawyer. No. See if we can get Matlock for our convention. 1:30 p.m., find something that's not supposed to be on my property and kill it. 2:30 p.m., fly back to Washington, but first circle menacingly over Fleet Center in Boston. 4 p.m., back at White House. Find something that's not supposed to be on my property and kill it. 9 p.m., watch Kerry's speech. Wow, this Bush guy is a terrible president. Someone should say something. Hey, wait a minute, 11:10 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thought. I'm still rich. There you go. Tonight, Senator John Kerry accepts his party's nomination at the Democratic Convention in Boston. Joining us by phone from Cambridge is one of Senator Kerry's foreign policy advisors. He is also the author of The Politics of Truth, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Well, it's nice to be with you, Mark and Mark. Also, I guess I'm still public enemy number one of the RNC.
Oh, okay.
Why so?
Well, of course, they've launched this smear campaign based on a bunch of lies and distortions to try and destroy me and my wife and our credibility in this whole question of Niger uranium.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that. They're trying to say that that was now a valid, legitimate find.
Yeah, it's outrageous. If you go back and you take a look at the body of the report, 4 months before the State of the Union address, the two most senior officials in our intelligence community testified, one to Congress and one, George Tenet, sent messages to the White House saying, don't use this information, the reporting is weak, and we've told Congress, we've told the Brits that we just think that they've stretched the information and that it was not usable. We don't want the president to be a witness of fact on this.
So why did they just resurface this information out of nowhere again?
Oh, I think they're mad at me.
Oh, yeah?
I think, you know, when somebody stands up and says the emperor's not wearing any clothes, and the empire strikes back. And I think the message to all Americans about this from this administration is that if you as a citizen exercise your constitutional responsibility to call your government to account for what it has said and done in your name, then your government will use its political apparatus to destroy you and your family. Be very, very afraid.
So they're probably also mad that you're advising Senator Kerry. And what I want to ask is, you know, with Iraq, you know, still obviously very dangerous, 68 people killed yesterday. I mean, what strategies should he use in Iraq to quell the violence, and how is he going to present that to the people tonight?
Well, let me make one thing very clear. When I speak, I speak as a surrogate and as a supporter, but I don't claim to speak for the campaign because it's constraining.
Okay.
But, I mean, very clearly, the candidate has been speaking for over a year about the need to try and put some hope back into this situation and find some solution that allows us to ensure that it does not become a chronic source of instability in the Middle East, and at the same time gets us out from under the total burden of managing what is an utter disaster.
What are some of the ways we can do this?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is we need, and this is what only a Democratic administration can do, restore the credibility of the United States internationally. This administration, you see it time and again in international meetings, has zero credibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is tough to be a leader if you have no followers. These guys have pursued a unilateralist policy. They have delighted in the idea that they might have brought down the United Nations and the whole system of collective security that has held us in relative security over 60 years. I think John Kerry, the first thing that he will do is he will go out and he will find friends and allies, and he will persuade them that indeed the problem of Iraq is a problem for the international community. It affects all of us. Its future affects all of us. It is unconscionable that we would replace the international collective security system with just American boys and girls out there killing and dying.
Mm-hmm. Ambassador Wilson, it seems as though, and you've laid out several points about how to deal, how the Kerry administration would deal with Iraq. It seems as though, if the polls are to be believed, that he is having some difficulty transmitting his vision for Iraq to the American people. What specifically do you think he needs to say tonight during this speech to make that light bulb go off in people's heads and say, okay, I now know he's got a better plan?
Well, I think obviously tonight is an opportunity for him to lay out his vision and his optimism for an American future that is based upon respect in the world, strength at home and respect in the world. And clearly he has the credentials both as a veteran and as a longtime national security specialist in the Senate. I think those are the two things that he will stress. One of the things that we need for everybody to understand is that when we are hit by terrorists and by foreign enemies, they hit all Americans, not Republicans or Democrats. And the Kerry administration will be strong at home. You will not find our first responders being over there in a diversion from the real task instead of over here where they're available in the event that we were hit by another terrorist attack. Secondly, I think, again, it's the whole question of demonstrating that we will earn the respect of the rest of the world, that respect which we enjoyed for literally 55 years after the Cold War. Juxtapose the first Gulf War with this Gulf War. Remember that on September 12th, we were acclaimed around the world. We are all Americans now, as everybody expressed their empathy. Now the world believes we are the greatest threat to global security.
We're talking to Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Now, did you have any hands-on in creating the speech with Senator Kerry?
No, I have. What I have done during the campaign, particularly during the primary season, is go out and speak in support of Senator Kerry. I advise, I'm part of a foreign policy committee that offers our views on policy to the campaign. But I have also, of course, written my book and been backing my book and been speaking out and trying to defend myself against the smear campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That's a full-time job.
I see, yeah. There were some articles, Ambassador, recently that talked about how John Kerry processes information and how he goes about this making decisions. You've talked with him. You've been involved in some of these discussions with him and the people around him. Is he so different than anyone else in terms of the way he goes about making decisions?
Well, my experience with him and with the campaign is that it is far more open and intellectually curious than what you see on the other side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in fact, issues and points of view are discussed and are debated with a view towards getting the best ideas out front. Nobody believes, in my experience in the campaign, that there is a monopoly of wisdom. And as a consequence, we do reach out to people who have expertise in the areas with which we're concerned. Just to give you an example, on the Foreign Policy Advisory Committee dealing with the Middle East are a number of people who have spent many, many years studying Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that with a friend of mine, Pat Lang, who gave a speech to what he told me were all of the Middle East experts that he knew in Washington. And he asked them, has the Bush administration called on any of you for your views either before, during, or after the Iraq War? If so, raise your hand. Nobody in his audience raised his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Over hand.
Ambassador, quick question. This smear thing is a personal thing for you and for your wife. I mean, it reaches into your family. Will it ever end?
Well, I the wheel always turns, and you know, the Wall Street Journal wrote that made it very clear that one of the objectives of this campaign is to bring the special counsel's investigation to an early and unsuccessful end. I don't believe that's going to happen.
The special counsel's investigation as to who leaked your wife's
name.
Who
leaked the name of a national security member of the clandestine service of the CIA who happens to be my wife.
Yes.
Is what it was. And I don't believe that they're going to succeed in that. I also don't believe they're going to succeed in their other objective, which is to strike fear into the heart of Americans who may think about speaking up. They certainly haven't struck fear into me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Really appreciate you having me back.
Great to be with you guys. You do great work.
Well, thank
you.
Right.
Take care. I'm not afraid. I'm just going to keep saying that. I'm not afraid. I'm a strong man. I can say bad things. The president's not going to smear me, right?
That's right. You're right? A manly man.
Yes, I am.
Not a girly man.
We're talking about the issues.
Still to come, the presidential daily briefing. You on the phones, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, here on Air America Radio.
Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
You work hard and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry will receive the party's crown tonight in an acceptance speech on the following night of the Democratic Party's National Convention. Party faithful last night heard from the Reverends Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Representative Dennis Kucinich, and Vice Presidential Candidate John Edwards. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay's Political Action Committee gave $81,000 in last decade to 10 Republicans who could be asked to investigate allegations of Texas lawmaker misused his office. With the Bush White House trying to build up the nation's military might, Bloomberg News reports this morning that Boeing, the aircraft manufacturer, earned $607 million in the second quarter on higher military sales. The company also envisions a boost in sales come next year. And the Federal Reserve found economic conditions around the country worsened in June and early July. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi there, your old pal Bill, sitting poolside and sucking down a cold one. Whoa, I just love summer. Now the Democratic Convention's coming up, so Serious Cracked Up Comedy's doing the Demo Cracked Up Convention. Get it? Demo Cracked Up? That's pretty damn funny. 3 days of the best political humor. That's right, Monday through Wednesday on Serious Cracked Up Comedy, 146. Hey, I hope no one's making fun of me.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Woody asks if an interest-only mortgage is the way to go. I can't wait to answer that one, and I will next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Woody wants to get an interest-only loan.
The interest-only mortgages make sense.
I am appalled at the ignorance in the mortgage industry that so many mortgage brokers are running around saying that the interest-only loan is somehow calculated differently and that you who are going to prepay principal are get an advantage with the interest-only loan. You do not. And they're just morons, I guess, because it's just not the truth. So I don't know where these guys are getting this stuff, except some brochure that came out, and they learn more about how to sell than what it is they're selling. It aggravates me, because the interest-only loan's becoming quite the rage, and it's going to be a disaster, because what's going to end up happening is a whole bunch of people are going to pay interest-only, and they're never even going to make a dent on their mortgage. So, all that impassioned plea to say, Woody, I would never take out an interest-only mortgage under any circumstances. I would take out a 15-year fixed-rate loan for less, and systematically prepay that.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
(866) 303-2270. We're going to take your calls in just a second. The Bible's Book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present Rapture Watch. Word up, you hedonites. The end is so near, it actually happened yesterday and you missed it. That's right. Not yesterday, but this week. The beast appeared in two forms. Count them, two. The first was in Baltimore. Yeah, no surprise there. Where he took the form of a hideous, horribly deformed creature. No, not John Waters. Described as half male, half female, covered with strange patches of hair, and obsessed with garbage. No, I said not John Waters. The creature seems to be a cross between a hyena and a coyote. Okay, it's not exactly the seven-headed beast mentioned in the Bible, but those people back then tended to overwrite, you know. From Baltimore, Beelzebub moved quickly to Texas. Once again, no surprise there. In San Antonio, Kai, the killer whale, a normally docile and loving mammal of the sea, attacked his trainer during a show, pushing him underwater and batting him around like a beach ball, much to the delight of cheering school children. And as everyone knows and show, as everyone in show business knows, a sure sign of the rapture is animals deliberately going off script and pandering to the audience. And so it begins. The rapture is here, my friends. It's time to run naked in the streets. May God have mercy on us all. This has been Rapture Watch on Morning Sedition.
Wow, a segment with two John Waters references.
Yeah. Everyone's waiting to find out what song John Kerry will use after he's nominated tonight. And insiders think it might be Springsteen's No Surrender. And I think that's a good choice. But here's some songs he should definitely avoid. Nelly's It's Getting Hot in Here, So Take All Your Clothes Off. It's a little too Clinton. Creedence's Fortunate Son, I think, would be bad. It's a little too Bush. Screaming Jay Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You.
I love that song.
That's a little too Howard Dean. Beck's Loser. A little too Lieberman, I think. Rod Stewart's The First Cut is the Deepest. It's a little too Al Gore, I think. And how about Sticks' Mr. Roboto? A little too Nader. How about the Beatles' Revolution Number 9?
Mm.
That's just a little too weird. Have you heard Number 9? Number 9? How about the Clash's I'm So Bored with the USA? I think that's a little negative. I don't think you should probably use that one.
No.
How about John Ashcroft singing Soar Like an Eagle? That's too funny. And I think anything by the Dead Kennedys is probably out.
I would say so,
that's,
yes.
That's self-explanatory. We got Mitch in Miami. What's going on, man?
What's up, Mitch?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Are you talking from a container?
First of all, my mother's there at Boston Convention. She's a delegate from Miami-Dade County.
All right. You talked to her?
I'm a precinct captain just of last week. I got a call from John Kerry's campaign to be a precinct captain here in Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, great. That's where my mom lives.
So we're not all completely complete idiots down here in Florida. There's a lot of hardworking people down here.
I know.
Say you were idiots, did we?
No, but, you know, you get this bad, you know, Florida always gets a bad rap.
I love Florida.
Oh, fantastic. Anyway, I've just been in complete shock about how Edwards could have a phenomenal speech.
Yeah.
And they come back with Ralph Reed.
What is that?
On CNN.
Unbelievable.
What can we do to boycott CNN and MSNBC with their Scarborough County and that Who's that other guy, Larry King Live?
Yeah, I think it's appalling what they're doing. I just think, I mean, just even the way they're supposedly nonpartisan commentators are dismissing, like, Al Sharpton, and I don't even know what they're trying to do. I mean, I've been talking about, you know, what's the point of having Tucker Carlson there to ruin the party? I just think they've made a tremendous mistake, you know, in how they're covering this. I think they thought they were going to be balanced, but it turns out they're really ruining the convention on television.
Well, you know what it is, too? I mean, look, they've gotten eclipsed to some extent by the Fox News Channel. More people watch Fox right now, I believe, at least as far as the last ratings I saw, than CNN in most instances. So it seems like CNN's reaction to that is to try and be a little bit more like Fox, to try and have a little bit more right-wing kind of coverage of certain events.
It's just stupid. It's like that guy we had on the phone yesterday for 2 minutes. It's like, you give any of them a hole to an opportunity,
yeah,
you know, a gap to say anything. They're just going to plow their talking points at you in one form or another. There's no argument involved because they're all narrow-minded, whiny babies, and they're all petty, and they're all slanderous, and they're all, you know, they got nothing but bitterness.
Yes.
You know, and they're just going to try and plow their message through.
And that's the media we're talking about.
And Ralph Reed, how can that guy be, you know, not only not objective, but he's evil. He is an evil, he's not a spokesperson. You know, he's like, he's an architect of the end of the world. We'll be back right here on Air America in a minute.
Your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Train, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals.
Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Joe DiMassina, the RAD, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate. Because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can be strong and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Oh, boy, the blog is on fire. MorningSedition.com. I wasn't reading it, though. I'm just saying it was on fire. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Present.
Yes, on Air America Radio, the voice of truth. 866-303-2270. Isn't that condescending? The voice of truth and entertainment and funny and propaganda. 866-303-2270 is the number. Now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled Delusional Hope Threatened by Hopeless Realism. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that David Kaye, the man who headed our search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, has said that you should give up your, quote, delusional hope, unquote, of ever finding of weapons of mass destruction there. Kaye's tone implies that delusional hope is somehow a bad thing and undermines the whole idea of faith-based domestic and foreign policy decisions. Since delusional hope, or DH, is the basis for much of your voter support and early business career, we feel giving it up would be far too traumatic at this stage. As the late Ronald Reagan proved, there is no stronger foundation for a thriving economy and a strong defense than a compelling dream world. Plus, those weapons could turn up at any time, just like Jesus. We suggest that you hope David Kaye into silence or even non-existent. Non-existence. God, I can't read today. In the meantime, we'll see if we can find some embarrassing photos of him. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. It's not just me, though. This sentence says, we'll see we can find. So, like, my brain's a little glitchy. And then I got the glitch on the paper.
But you know what? We're running through every glitch that we run into today.
Yeah, we are. Are we going to take calls or are we going to run some Sharpton?
Well, we're going to run a little Sharpton. And instead of running the Sharpton that we've been running so far this morning from last night, we're going to run some early morning Sharpton from when we just got through talking to him about an hour ago.
Great.
He was talking about Bush bashing.
I like
you know, because that's one of those things that everybody seems to be talking about. MSNBC has seen fit to take a running tally of how many Democrats or how many times Democrats bash Bush, which, of course, is a crock of... never mind, you don't have your finger on the button.
What happened to debate, political debate, criticism of policy?
Out the window!
This guy's not a victim. He's a loser.
Well, hey...
Let's
hear what Reverend Al had to say.
I think if you saw the reaction of that crowd last night, people wanted someone that would deal with these issues. And I very pointedly did not attack Bush personally. I answered his questions.
Yeah.
The president raised some questions at the Urban League that I answered. I didn't call him any names. I didn't slogan on him. I said, you deserve an answer, and I'm going to answer them tonight. And I think what the press ought to do is go to the president today and say, you asked the questions, what do you deal with the answers? Did you not expect someone to answer you?
Yeah.
I mean, because the inference of his question was that blacks would vote Democratic because we were in some way non-thinking, just following some political line without thinking about it. And I wanted him to know that's not at all what happened, and that's not at all what's happening now.
Listen to me, they're like divas about to, like, yeah. Omar in Westchester.
My man. What's up, baby? How you doing, Mark and Mark?
All right, man. What's up?
All right, I got two real quick things. Which one do you want to hear first? Do you want to hear about Wilson or do you want to hear about Sharpton?
Sharpton first.
Okay, Sharpton first. Well, listen, I had the Kleenex tissue next to my eyes. Not only did he tear the house down, but you can't compete with this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's strictly a losing battle. Nobody can compete with him verbally.
Yeah.
But the key thing I had to say about him is if they thought that he was bashing him, what part of what he said wasn't true?
No, they think everyone's bashing him, Omar.
Just what part of it wasn't true?
Right.
And about Wilson.
Yeah.
His wife has one of the most sensitive jobs in the world.
Yeah.
And if you are an American and the right wing, we know who he was, leaked that information out about his wife because of what her husband did, who's non-patriotic now?
Oh, absolutely.
That's an excellent point. And you know what else? And Omar makes the point. This is a situation that could cost this woman at any time. You know, I mean, now got to spend the rest of her life worrying about the possibility that, you know, people who she's worked against in the past or whatever now know who she is, now know what her role is. They could come after her at any given moment.
Yeah, that's, of course, as a result of the Bush administration's policy of secret vendetta.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're going to talk to Jerry in Long Island. How are you, Jerry?
What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, hi, you guys. Yeah, that's why I want to talk about the Valerie Plame case. Uh-huh. By the way, I have to applaud Reverend Sharpton. I think that was one of the greatest speeches of his life.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as the Valerie Plame case goes, I have two questions related to that. Do you think that this situation with someone adding Joseph Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, as a CIA operative, which I personally call leakgate, and I wish more people would do that because throughout the Clinton administration, everything they attached the word gate to at the end, remind people of Watergate. So I wish we would call this leakgate.
Okay.
But could this matter, if properly investigated and prosecuted, could this matter lead to Bush's downfall, much like Watergate led to Nixon's resignation and downfall? And
I hope so. We've only got a couple of months, Jerry.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of months for that to happen.
We probably need to have voters deal with Bush's
downfall.
Well, they
talk about impeachment proceedings, but the common belief is because of the Republican dominance of the House that
you'll never get it through.
That nothing's ever going to happen because of this unless someone takes him to task after he loses in November. Cynthia in New Jersey.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Yes.
I called MSNBC last night during Reverend Sharpton's speech because in the middle of the speech, Chris Matthews interrupted the speech, right? And he goes, "This man's career was begun on a lie." And he starts talking about Tawana Brawley. You know, this is in the middle of the speech. He did not do that to anybody else who was making their speech. He just interrupted it.
Oh, God. You know, they think it's all about them. Thanks for your call. I mean, that's the problem. You see these pundits or whatever they are, these failed lawyers and, you know, failed TV journalists.
Blowhards, gas bags.
I mean, it's like we've had Matthews on the show. I mean, you know, he's got his place in the world. But, you know, shut up and let the politicians be politicians. It's not about you. I think it's so narcissistic, so selfish, and so, like, dismissive. They did on CNN and NBC, MSNBC, they're the ones keeping the tally of how many times that the Democrats attack Bush at the convention. They should attack him. They should attack his policy. They should be critical of his presidency. They should use it as a launching point for their own views. They're not being petty. It's called criticism. It's called activating debate. If the Republicans weren't such whiny babies that need to wear diapers, and if they weren't so afraid that their man-child idiot president is going to go down, then they'd be able to debate effectively, or at least have some faith in the fact that their president could respond effectively. But he can't, and I thought he was the war president, yet debate a little too scary.
Well, he's a big, tough guy, but the media is carrying his water. You notice that. It is the media that is bringing up a lot of this crap, and it's largely because there are too many of them up there. I'm not talking about our staff mm-hmm. here at Air America Radio, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are too many of them up there, and they got nothing to do.
Yeah. Stay on the phone. We'll get back. We'll get to you in a minute on Air America Radio. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your padding on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio. Got an email here.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
Yeah, somebody said that I'm a political junkie and I get my stuff off of the web. The same TV stations have websites, and I notice that the online stuff is a lot more favorable to the Dems than TV seems to come across. Because I guess in print, you're able to expound a bit. You talk about issues, express yourself, you know, properly instead of just being, you know, these, you know, kind of, you know, a lot of these people on television who are not so much pundits, but some of the TV commentators are really not that bright. And if, you know, if they don't have people talking into their heads and telling them what to say, they don't have opinions that are proper, you know, or even journalistic. So I think that what he's saying is probably true, that, you know, when you have the freedom to sort of think about things and execute it, you know, in words without, you know, sort of reacting to someone else yelling at you or someone with an opposing viewpoint, you know, ruining the buzz.
They're worried about their hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm talking about the guys now.
Let's take this quick call. Clarissa. Oh, wait, no. We're going to Ed in Fort Lauderdale.
Ed. Hi, Ed.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. All right. What's up?
I, too, am a political junkie. I'll start off letting you know I am a registered Republican.
Okay.
I will be voting for George Bush.
Oh, good.
But I did. I've been watching. Yeah. I've been watching all
That's
of
right,
this
terrific. That's
coverage
terrific.
On MSNBC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was shocked. I almost jumped off my couch when I saw the face of Satan, Ralph Reed, pop onto my screen.
Right.
This guy, this is the wacko who ran the Christian Coalition. They had Dick Armey on the other night. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Hey, Ed. Reed is working for Bush. Why are you going to vote for this guy?
Well, guys, I have to be honest with you, okay? I understand.
Why don't you just lie and say you're voting for Kerry?
Yeah.
Guys, I can't do it. I can't. He's too stiff. I mean, his record, it drives
he's
me crazy. Hey, run Barack Obama, I'll vote for him. I told my wife a million times that if John Edwards were running for president, he would have probably gotten my vote. He's more moderate.
Well, he's close.
Just because he's a little stiff that we
do.
It sounds to me that you're very close to voting Democrat. I think you should rethink it. Look at Ralph Reed. Look at who, you know, what he represents.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, man. He calls him a vote for Bush. Well, great. What are you calling us for? No, but you know, I think it sounds to me like he's very close to voting Democrat.
We could make him a swing voter.
That's the only criticism he has of his carry is that he's got a little problem with he's a little stiff.
He's a little stiff. Well, you know, we give him some, what is that stuff they give you to loosen up your muscles?
He's 9 feet tall. Give him a break.
Yeah.
You know, John Kerry, he just looks stiff because he's tall.
He's taller than everybody else.
How about voting on his record?
Yeah, that would be nice. He's a war hero, for God's sake.
Unbelievable.
And don't believe all of that. Well, he took a Super 8 movie of the landing on a beach because he knew he was going to. That's all a load of crap. That's Matt Drudge's vivid imagination.
Interesting guy, though. He just says, like, first off, I'm voting for Bush. Well, great.
Yeah.
There you go. Then what are you calling us for? But what he said about Ralph Reed should definitely change his mind. I don't know. I don't know if he's got his head on quite right. But I appreciate the call from Florida. Here's the liberal agenda. One, let's rename Boston Sharpton. Two, continue bush bashing, but with soothing southern accent.
Ooh.
Three, tell Barbara to give you an Edwards. I'll take the Edwards, please. Four, regardless of how his speech goes tonight, tell everyone Kerry was a better speaker than Hillary, Bill, Barack, Ted, Al, Howard, John, or even Teresa. Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation, quote, hope is on the way, and if it takes more than 30 minutes, it's free, end quote. Great show, Mark.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a problem with the way the media is treating this convention, watch C-SPAN. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we'll talk with a former John Kerry speechwriter about the acceptance speech. Plus, we'll check in with Congressman Barney Frank, and we'll go live to the kickoff of Kerry's victory tour, interviewing a campaign insider who will be on the bus. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. See you, Marin.
Bye.